If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Let's Jed the Fish with Trent Reznor. What if your name was Asshore?
If it was Asshore. What if your name, say, was Vagina Patterson?
Yeah, I got Beck right here.
I got my headset on.
Your hair looks so good. It's just...
Your hair looks quite nice.
Yeah, but yours is, like, stirring me right now.
I don't know if that's good.
Hello?
And now...
Isn't he, crazy?
Our feature presentation.
That's not working as much, as well as I would hope it would. Okay, here we go. Let's start again.
What is that?
Wow.
Is this it?
Anthony Soprano, Detective Gaudioso, Essex County. I have a warrant for your arrest.
For what?
Are you Anthony Soprano?
Could you bring the whole county with you?
We don't take any chances when it concerns an illegal firearm containing hollow point ammunition.
What?
Hollow point ammunition, people. Come on.
Yeah. Is this it?
Is this it?
I love that.
That's the best, because they know he's going to be arrested and put in jail forever.
Absolutely.
And they're just waiting for the time. That was awesome.
That was a good episode.
Good morning, everybody. It's Monday. It is the 9th of Aprilingus.
And I'll tell you, while I was watching 20 minutes of them play a Monopoly, though, I felt like I was watching Lost. It was one of those kind of moments for a little bit, you know?
Yeah, you know what, though? The Sopranos has a lot of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? Where it's kind of slow, but there's a lot of stuff going underneath the conversation. Remember when they were out at the lake, the two women were out at the lake, and, you know, Tony, everybody's like, okay, is he gonna kill him? Is he gonna off him?
Yeah.
Is he gonna shoot him? How's he gonna kill him? What's gonna happen here? And they were just having a normal conversation, but there's so much going underneath it.
Right.
I love
it. Well,
even
Monopoly,
they're ratcheting up the tension for what's to come in Monopoly. I mean, you understand after the fact why it had to be the way it was, but at the time you're going, all right already.
you're playing
very Lost-like.
We get it.
We get it. You're playing Monopoly, exactly.
And weren't they just like two enormous bulls crashing through that room?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
For the two-thirds of you who don't have HBO, it's a show called The Sopranos, and it came back last night for the first episode in almost a year, and it was very highly anticipated because it's the end of the series. Been on for 6 seasons. This is there's only 8 episodes left now, so people are going to be talking about it a lot this spring, so you might as well get used to it.
Is there really two-thirds of people that don't have HBO?
It is, yeah.
Wow. That sucks.
That's surprising. You kind of figure if you have cable, you probably have HBO.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the...
You want to pay for it, yeah.
Yeah, I get. But they have like the minimum package, right? They have like one HBO and
I don't even know.
And a Stars.
Well, maybe that's it.
I don't know how it works. But.
Jed, did you watch The Sopranos this weekend? You get caught up in it?
It's 106.7 K-Rock.
Where did you say that?
I went to watch The Sopranos with the bass player from Platinum Blonde, and I ended up waking up on someone's lawn in Long Beach. With the terrier licking my face and the sprinkler hitting my hair.
That wasn't a sprinkler.
K-Rock.
All right, Jed.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. So, Zach Johnson is the name. It's really one of the funniest things. Zach Johnson is the guy who no one... I don't even care if you golf. I don't even care if you watch golf on TV. You've never heard of Zach Johnson.
And what happened?
31-year-old from Iowa who won the Masters tournament over the weekend.
Oh, did he?
Tiger Woods was in second place. I wonder if we'll ever hear from him again. It's just so weird when somebody... That's the interesting thing about golf, you know?
Is that
somebody you've never heard of out of the blue can come and win the most prestigious, biggest, toughest tournament there is.
Yeah, I can't watch golf on TV. I try, and I have a lot of friends. We had a bunch of people over yesterday for Easter. A lot of friends come over. Oh, you got to put the Masters on. You got to put the Masters on. So I put it on for them.
A lot of people are fanatical about it.
Watched with some of them. Just the only thing I find interesting about golf is that Tiger Woods still would not be allowed to be a member at Augusta.
That's
still.
Right.
to this day. They will not allow black guys.
You're kidding.
In 2007.
Tiger Woods, maybe the best golfer, you know, in 30 years.
Ever.
Still don't let black people be a member. Or women, I think, either.
Wow, why do they play that tournament?
I don't know.
If I were him, I would never play it.
Because of the spiffy green jacket?
Yeah, but
it is the most prestigious, and I think it's...
If you're going to stand up for something, though, wouldn't that be it?
Yeah, because you'd think that it would hurt them to not have Tiger play there.
Yeah.
Are you sure about the blacks? Is that still the case?
I know
it's a case about women, but it's still about blacks, too?
I think it is. I mean, they can play, but they can't be members, I think.
Right. They can play as an invited guest in the instance of this case.
I don't know. Maybe Tiger does it because it's kind of like a poke in the eye. You know, hey, I'm not good enough to be a member here, but I'm going to win the Masters. How about that?
Maybe.
By 38 strokes or whatever he did that first year. So
yeah,
that's what's funny to me about golf. But that still exists in today's society somehow.
Golf is good to sleep to. I know that. You put golf on, you lay on the couch, you're out.
Because the announcers whisper.
Yeah.
They do, yeah. You're right.
It's just atmosphere.
Well, it's just funny to see a guy whose name you may never hear again win the whole thing. And Tiger be in second place and be so pissed off. It's pretty funny.
Did they get in a fight? That would be awesome.
No. And I will say one other thing, Kevin, and you'll love this. You'll be so happy about this, is my Mariners are in Cleveland this weekend. Snowed out Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Had to cancel all the games. Snow. They got like a foot and a half of snow or something crazy like that. They tried to play Friday, and they were out there with snow blowers. Like every inning, they'd stop the game and go out there with snow blowers and be brushing everything off and trying to get it in, but they just couldn't.
That's why baseball is a game of pussies. They should play like football does.
Well,
and the funny part is the ball's white, so you get snow.
That's the point.
And you hit it into the outfield.
Can't see a thing.
You can have the whole team score by the time they find it.
I think that's the difference, and that's why they don't play in snow, is because you literally can't even see the ball.
That'd be awesome.
Well, maybe they should make black balls for snow days.
That's a great idea. By the way, which is what they do in golf, is they have balls that are like blue and purple and stuff like that if the visibility is bad.
True. That's true.
Yeah. But anyway, it's just hilarious. I mean, you know, maybe Cleveland ought to invest in a roof. That's all I'm suggesting.
Yeah, you would
be snowed out. Yeah, that part of the country, you're going to be playing early and late in the season. Mm-hmm. It could happen, you know?
I have a friend who moved to Boston and called me last week. I think it was 80, 85 here. And he called me last week and said he was shoveling snow and he was miserable.
Wow. There's a lot of that going on this weekend.
And
a lot of Easter snow.
I don't know what to tell you. Sunny in 85. How about coming back to Los Angeles?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm so freaking happy that I don't live someplace in the snow. I don't think I'd be able to handle it.
Miserable.
No, you're a pussy. There's no question about that.
I am. When it comes to cold, that's it. I'm out.
Well, you grew up in Phoenix. It's not in you.
It's not in you.
It was especially funny, though, for us because it was 79 degrees here on Friday, and they're in Cleveland trying to play in snow. You know, instead of switching it around, maybe they should have made a phone call and said, come on back.
Yeah.
You know? At least they could play the games.
How'd your Dodgers do this weekend?
Oh, crushed the hated rivals of the Giants.
Oh, fantastic.
Destroy. Fantastic.
Lakers didn't do quite as well yesterday.
No, actually, this just
they played pretty well.
Rajah Bell just scored another 3-point.
Did he really?
Yeah, on the Lakers.
Wow. I thought the game was over, but all right.
What about your pal Barry Zito, by the way, signing one of the richest pitching contracts in history to go to the San Francisco Giants, starting off the season 0-2 already, including getting slaughtered yesterday.
And the Dodgers having their first real offensive explosion off this multi-million-dollar man yesterday.
He got a $129 million deal, Kevin, to go to the Giants from the A's.
Wow.
And
that's
so far, it has not been working out.
Luis Gonzalez, 100 years old, hit two homers off him.
That's Alex Rodriguez money, isn't it? That guy?
Yes. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Big deal right there. So, anyway, our sports guy, of course, will be hitting all this throughout the show later today. So
that's good news. We got that going for us. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. It's Monday morning. We got Bobcat Goldthwait on the program, comedian Bobcat, talking about his new DVD, Sleeping Dogs Lie.
Don't know if I have the guts to watch that or not.
Oh, it's on my list.
Oh, you have to watch it. It's great. It's great. They don't show anything.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you know.
All right.
It's just
you've seen the movie?
Oh, yeah.
It's good?
Okay. Yeah, it's just one of those deals where they're sitting around and she tells one story too many.
Right.
You know? Just whenever somebody says, I need you to be completely honest with me about everything.
Don't do it.
That's a trap. Don't do it.
Don't do it. Okay, good advice.
Especially if you've made out with a dog or whatever it is she did. Right. Do not tell people no matter how serious you want to get and no matter how much they want to know the truth.
All right.
Nobody really wants to know that much truth.
They just want to know there isn't a story there that they should be hearing about. That's what they want to know.
Right. And so you tell them that even if there is. That's right. The point. Also on today's show, we are going to get Psycho Mike a new job. He's been slacking. I got to be honest. He's very bad at his job.
Hey.
But he's had a dream for quite some time, and we're gonna help him pursue it today.
His dream job?
His dream job.
Yep.
You have two dream jobs, right?
I have a couple, you know, and this one's definitely right at the top. This one's definitely right at the top. At night, when I fall asleep, a lot of people want to be the center fielder for the Dodgers,
mm-hmm.
A rock star. I want to be a freelance porn title maker.
Porn titles are funny.
I don't see why you couldn't do that on the side, by the way. I don't. Yeah. Maybe today's the first step toward getting you that new career.
And Mike wants to do that, and we have a list of porn titles that crack us up. Well, I'm telling you, those people have a great sense of humor.
They are very creative.
So we're going to talk to one of the biggest companies today. We're going to get you hired.
Yeah.
I think that's going to happen. Shia LaBeouf on the show today. Disturbia? Is that today? Or is it later this week?
That's the day we were speaking with him, yes.
Yes, okay. Yeah, the movie opens Friday. Disturbia looks awesome. That's the one where the kid's in his house, and he's watching all the neighbors with the binoculars.
Mm-hmm.
That looks fantastic. I can't wait for that. Penis injuries on today's show. They've been coming fast and furiously, haven't they, so to speak? We've had like three calls the last, I don't know, 2 weeks with guys
we
who
have.
Just have destroyed their own penises. The last one was a guy shaving in the shower.
Don't know how to handle it, apparently.
Shaving down there and pretty much gave himself a circumcision. And that's not what you want to do.
Yeah,
That's just about what he did. Yeah, it was that bad.
The doctor asked him if he wanted to continue with it or just stop.
Yeah, so just finish the job?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm getting the heebies just hearing you describe that, by the way.
So that's too much right there. You people, don't be mean to your penises. Joel McHale's going to be here in the 6 o'clock hour, just after 6. He's got a new TV show called Thank God You're Here. He's got this The Soup on E. And
he's a fan.
No. Tony.
No.
Stop.
Nice guy. Looking forward to having him.
And what's this? Is Kevin smarter than a fifth grader? I don't know. What's that?
It's a game, I think.
It's our version of the very popular Fox hit that is currently getting the big ratings over there after American Idol. Originally, it was after American Idol, and now it's moved to its own time slot. It's just a huge, huge hit. And we thought, hey, it's so much fun on TV. Let's play it on the radio.
Right,
and you're going to be our contestant.
Doesn't that only work because you want to see if the person is smarter than a fifth grader? Well, where's the tension in this game?
Ralph and I disagree on this, by the way. I think you're going to do fine. I'm not that worried about you in this game. I think you're going to be all right. I think you get
did
a bad
you come
rap
up with the questions?
On stuff like that. I did not.
Oh.
I saw the
Is
questions.
Is Ralph coming up with the questions?
Yeah. Ralph came up with the questions. He thinks you'll do poorly. I think you'll do well.
All right.
So we'll see.
I think I'm siding with Ralph. That's my guess.
Do know that I have seen that show from time to time. And it's a big hit on Fox. And I'm zero for all in math questions. I forgot every word of that
stuff.
You know
why? Don't use a bit of it.
Don't use it, yeah. I mean, when was the last time you needed an isosceles triangle in your day-to-day life?
What's that?
Exactly. That's my point. So we are going to play that, and I think we do have a valuable prize to give away. I guess the listeners will be somehow playing against you, but we'll explain that all coming up this morning in the 7 o'clock hour.
Playing against or with. We'll see. We'll see. Maybe
exactly,
they're on my side.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's right.
5:44, we'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph's Showbiz Beat.
Look, I know Ralph is here. We've got a lot of stuff to take care of with the Showbiz Beat. You know, big weekend, a lot of entertainment news, movies, the whole deal. But I have to start immediately with this email, Ralph.
Okay.
I just drove by a building in downtown Los Angeles, you guys, and I saw a concert flyer with the words Revolver in the background of a picture of two long-haired guys. Ralph, I must know, is your band reuniting? I couldn't make out the faces as I was driving by, but I did see the word Revolver. Excited, Mary. Anything you need to tell us, Ralph?
We're having some legal issues with the band's name, Revolver. We're fighting, you know, we got a court battle. It's like Supernova. We got a court battle going on. So apparently someone else has kiped our name.
Are you kidding me?
So
when was the last time you guys?
Our lawyers are on top of it.
When was the last time you guys used the name?
Oh gosh. Well, we did that world tour last year. I know that was popular. I don't know.
Grade school,
junior high school.
Yeah,
yeah.
But the important thing is you kept it alive in the hearts and minds of your fans, though. And that's why it's sad that somebody else is trying to get into some of your popularity by taking your name.
When you have a smash like Jewish American Princess, you know. It doesn't go away. People remember it forever. People stop me now in the streets. In the farmer's market, I'll be stopped.
Is that right?
When I'm squeezing melons. And I'll say, I can't get the haunting lyrics of Jewish American Princess out of my mind.
I have a little clip of that if you want to hear it. Jewish
sure.
American Princess,
yeah.
Revolver.
I don't. Okay. but I don't think that's it at all.
That isn't it?
It doesn't sound like you.
Oh, that's
Wait, go for. I'm sorry.
That would have been before my voice changed. I couldn't hit those notes.
Even at
when they
14.
Start to approach you with the autograph pen out, you think, oh, here we go, another movie or TV fan. And then how often does it happen where they go, oh, it's really your band?
That's what they remember. So, yeah, we're looking into this new Revolver, this new band claiming to be Revolver. And that's what I feel bad about. Not so much that someone typed my band's name, but that the fans are going out expecting us, and they get these two schmoes. Whoever
I don't think anyone's expecting.
Well, Mary. Mary's excited.
Mary's
excited.
She emailed. Yeah.
You know, so.
I have a clip now of the song, if you don't. Okay. You want to hear the clip of the song, Revolver?
All right, what do we have? I think that's Bjork.
Okay. Yeah, sorry.
I think so.
Yeah.
All right.
It's 5:53. It's Monday morning. Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat. Anything non-Revolver related you got to tell us about?
No, actually. My first Showbiz story is Revolver related. Tragic news. Mark St. John has passed away.
Who's that?
Mark St. John once played lead guitar for Kiss.
Oh, okay. I remember him.
He replaced Vinnie Vincent, who replaced Ace Frehley.
But so I thought he was
a lead guitarist once removed. Well, he came back eventually. But when they took the makeup off, they went through a couple different band members.
Okay.
And Ace left the band, then Vinnie Vincent left the band, and then Mark St. John joined Kiss.
He was young, though. Didn't he have a lot of health problems or something like that? Was he the one who had cancer or something?
No, he died on Thursday of an apparent brain hemorrhage at the age of 51.
Oh, my.
Dude.
He only did one album with Kiss after they ditched their makeup, Animalize, it was called. It was released in 1984. And then shortly after that, he played lead guitar for Revolver. He took over for John Caruso in Revolver, played lead guitar for us. So
that's not true.
I feel bad for him. I feel bad for Mark.
I don't think that's
true. We weren't that close. We only did one album together, but still, you know.
I don't think you ever did an album.
Nice man. We did some tapes.
Right. But they didn't get put into an album, right?
Well, depends on how you define album. We had cover art.
No.
No?
Did you sell a single album?
Did we sell a single or an album? Yeah. Now I'm confused.
I'm saying one album.
Well, Kevin, it's not all about, the mercenary aspect.
Yeah, we were trying to gouge our fans.
Jeez. I'm not saying gouge. I'm saying did you have a sale?
We gave our work away.
Okay.
That's how it worked. Right. We made our money back in merchandising and tours. So it didn't really matter. We were talking just a while ago off the air about Bryan Cranston, who played the dad in Malcolm in the Middle, who's going to be on Thank God You're Here, the show we're talking with our buddy Joel McHale about shortly. Well, you might be interested to know what his TV son, Frankie Muniz, is up to. Now he's completely full-time race car driver.
Is that right?
He's completely out of acting, and he is a full-time professional race car driver now.
Awesome. Is he good?
Apparently he's pretty good, yeah. He said he's never been happier. Although he never planned to get out of acting, now he's found this new career. He said it's the happiest he's ever been. He said he's only home 40 days out of the year, though, because he's traveling all over the country competing in races. So he has to put off his engagement to his fiance. But other than that, he said things are great. So
this is a guy who, at the age of about 14, realized he never had to work again as long as he lived. So he could just do whatever he wanted.
I'm going to start racing cars now. Jeez, I want to be an astronaut. Tomorrow's the day the DNA results will be unveiled regarding the Anna Nicole Smith baby saga.
They've been saying that for weeks.
I know, but TMZ.com, our entertainment news website of record, says that Dr. Michael Baird will unveil his findings tomorrow in a courtroom in the Bahamas. And Larry Burkhead has announced he will be present for the verdict. No word yet on whether Howard K. Stern will show up or not, because he might have a face full of egg, as they say.
Oh! you know, we talked to Harvey. We talked to Harvey Levin on Friday from TMZ.com, and he told us he'd have an Easter Sunday story on Anna. And I guess it is, Ralph, that Howard is not going to contest the paternity if it turns out to be Larry Burkhead, right?
Yeah, he said if Larry is the dad, then I'm not going to contest it. He knows. He's already hedging his bets. He's backing off his story because he knows how it's going to come out. He went from, I am absolutely the father, put my name on the birth certificate, to, well, it might be him. He can have the baby if it is. I got to go over here and do this thing now. Yeah. Ass.
Anna,
indeed. Britney Spears, although sober and out of rehab, continues her free fall.
Uh-oh.
Over the weekend, she fired her manager, Larry Rudolph, just like she fired her PR person last year. So now there's nobody around to handle her spin or deal with her public relations nightmare, so now it's going to get tasty.
Excellent.
Looking forward to it. According to Fox, Britney has been telling friends that she hates Rudolph and never intended to sign with him again, but she was weak before she went into rehab and re-upped for the other 5-year contract with the dude. So now she has to see if she can get out of the contract or whether she's going to just pay him 15% of everything she makes for the next 5 years, regardless of whether she works with him or not. So she must really hate him if she's going to keep paying him.
No kidding.
That could be up to $1,000 she could make in the next 5 years.
That's true. Given her career state.
What do you think of funny people?
I just love funny people. Uh-huh. Funny people are great.
Right.
You know, and so hilarious.
Okay. Brittany,
thank you.
What do you think of funny people?
I just love funny people. Funny people are great, you know, and so hilarious.
Which is what you were talking about, Ralph.
It was a hell of a setup. I stand by it. You want to hear it again?
No. I couldn't possibly. Not on a Monday this early. Text saying, Anna, what would it sound like if some random guy said your name, Anna?
Hey, like that's a good one
for that piece of tape.
Write that down.
Ender! Close but no cigar. Apparently, Heather Mills is Sanjaya in England.
Really?
Everyone's furious that she's gotten so far as she has in Dancing with the Stars in England because they hate her guts.
Yeah.
And rightfully so.
Yeah, I remember. You know, England is Beatle country, and she's taken some slams at one of their faves, Paul McCartney. So now England's trying to get a hold of everyone they can in America to vote the one-legged model off the ABC show. They're starting petitions online to try to influence American voters to vote Heather Mills off the show because they hate her that much.
I like it.
Yeah. She is the Antichrist there, that's for sure.
In Touch magazine also reports that Heather has three different legs that she uses. She's got one that's a high heel for dancing, one's a flat shoe for dancing, and she's got another special leg just for skiing and rollerblading. That's not fair. You don't get to swap out legs.
Yeah, none of the other contestants get to do that.
Dealing with their own legs, their own God-given legs. She's got, like, bionic legs, special-powered legs.
Yeah, but you want to change your shoe, you have to change your whole leg. That blows.
I don't know. She can take the shoe off the foot.
I know, but she has one with a high heel, and if she wants to wear a flat, she has to put
she
on the other leg.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's awesome.
You got to plan out your day, that's for sure. There's no surprises when it comes to the shoe world for her.
No kidding.
Tad, what if we were speaking about you and making fun of you on the radio?
Don't even start bagging on me, man.
Yeah, that was a good setup.
Tommy Lee has moved in with his ex-wife, Pamela Anderson.
Oh, here we go again.
Temporarily, says In Touch magazine, but apparently Tommy's having some renovations done at his house. So Pam said, oh, why don't you just stay with me and the kids while they're working on your home?
Mm-hmm.
How nice would that be to Pamela Anderson just say, go stay with me for a few months?
They're going to be on again, off again for the rest of their lives, aren't they?
They really are. They are intertwined forever, in my opinion.
Pam, what do you like about Tommy?
I like meat.
Okay. That was close, at least. Better. Yeah, much better.
Making progress.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Ah, my dad, Hugh Hefner. Hugh Hefner, founder of Playboy magazine, lord of the Playboy Empire, turns 81 years old today.
Wow.
As he makes plans for his third wedding.
Yeah.
81 years old.
Every time he swore he wouldn't do it again.
Yep. Last time when they invented Viagra, he got a divorce pretty quick. Dennis Quaid, actor, is 53 years old today. Paulina Poroskova.
Oh.
Former supermodel, actress. I think she's still married to the lead singer from The Cars, if I'm not
mistaken.
Rick Ocasek.
She is?
Yeah.
Wow.
They've had one of the longest lasting marriages in music.
He's hideous.
So she was,
yes,
she
is.
She was first voted off Dancing with the Stars this season?
Yes.
Paulina was?
Yes, she was.
How's that? How's That's that fair? Irene is still out there, and Paulina's gone. That's just not right. She's 42 years old today. Yeah, Rick Ocasek looked like Beaker from the Muppets. Remember him? The guy, Professor Honeydew, was the scientist,
yeah.
And Beaker with the real skinny face and all the hair on top of it.
Yeah. Me, 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 me.
Rick Ocasek looks like Keisha Knight Pullum. Does that name sound familiar to you at all?
Oh, yes, it does.
Certainly.
Psycho Mike, where do we know her from?
I'm going to say Keisha Knight Pullum was Rudy from The Cosby Show.
She indeed was the youngest Huxtable on The Cosby Show. Rudy. Rudy Huxtable. 28 years old, little Rudy is now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that'll make you feel
Bill,
old.
Bill, does that make you feel old?
Oh, I thought you had another piece of tape.
Me too.
I thought you too. Hey. I thought it was going to be Bill Clinton he was talking to.
Hey, Bill Cosby, does that make you feel old?
Well, you see, when Jill and Randy get young, the band of the years ago, Victor from the Jello Party Pop.
Thank you.
Apparently it does.
And the show sucks.
Yeah.
Already?
Yep, sure does. Albert Hammond Jr., guitarist for The Strokes, turns 27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, it's that guy from that show.
Mm-hmm.
What?
I don't think we've ever had a guest at 6:05 before, have we? Actually, in the studio?
I do remember one time, and Joel McHale from E!, you'll appreciate this. One time, Kevin and I showed up for work at 5 a.m., and
that's right.
Russell Johnson was sitting in the chair in the office just outside the studio. Yes, the professor from TV's Gilligan's Island was there at 5 a.m. sitting in a chair just, you know, drinking his, drinking his juice, just waiting for anybody to show up. He was there before us. Oh. And that was an awkward moment.
I thought I broke the record today.
Hey, you're the professor from Gilligan's Island.
And how was he 400 or 500 pounds at that point?
I don't remember him being big at that. Did he plump up at the end?
No, I think he's huge now. I mean, he went the way Scotty went on Star
really?
Trek.
Really?
I think he was 400 or 500 years old.
Yeah.
I think he was definitely old.
Well, there's a new TV show on. It's called Thank God You're Here. It's hosted by David Alan Greer.
It is time to give it up for a very funny man, the host of The Soup, Mr. Joel McHale.
Wow. I haven't heard that yet.
Come on. How about that?
That's pretty good.
Isn't David Alan Greer just exhausting? You hang out with him and you're tired, right?
I don't know how he does it. And then he jumps on a motorcycle that goes 250 miles an
does
hour.
He really?
No, I'm not kidding. He puts on full leathers and then he goes out of here at it's amazing.
Wow.
I
don't know what to say about that.
And he's almost all gray now, so he looks like Cisco.
He kind of does, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Joel, did you ever think that you'd be one of those Ryan Seacrest type guys who would have a ton of TV shows on the air at the same time? Did you ever think that would be you?
How dare you?
How dare you insult him like that?
And I dreamed of the day I was like Ryan Seacrest, just petite and really well put together. I'm not even approaching the number of jobs he has. By the time you're done at 10, he's done 4 jobs.
I know.
It's so true.
But it's not the number of jobs that really defines him as much as it is his blandness. I think I would be upset if I were you, to be honest.
I saw him hanging out at the Home Depot. With a bunch of illegals, and I
looking for work,
just looking for just a few more dollars so he could detail his Bentleys.
He may have a wing at E, and you're working out of a broom closet. But
he does have a wing, and that's no joke.
He has to, because all the stuff he does. But there's no way a guy like him could do a show like this. And that's what's fascinating about Thank God You're Here, is because all of the people on the show, and we'll talk about who's on the show with you tonight, have to have the improv ability. It's very different than going out there and just reading a script.
Well, I thought you meant height.
Well, that's
to be able to see the other actors and not stare at their belts. Sorry. I'm on the Ryan Seacrest Network. And
that's why we love it when you make fun of
me. I bite the hand that feeds me.
Yeah, that's all right.
I think he signs my checks.
So Thank God You're Here. Tell us about that show.
It's in the vein of Whose Line Is It Anyway, except that it's way more elaborate in a very good way, because it's a bunch of people who they get three celebrity guest stars and then me on this next show, on the first show. But they put you into a costume and then thrust you into a scene, and then people just start talking at you, and you have to incorporate yourself into the scene.
So you don't know anything about the scene, what it is?
No idea.
And you have to make it up as they throw it at you.
Yeah, they put me in an African safari outfit, like a British, and they just said, all right, here you go. And then I crawled through a tunnel and came out.
And I think I had a
submarine,
clip of that.
Which made no sense. But no, I came out in a tomb.
In a tomb.
In an Egyptian tomb, go ahead.
And you really don't know until you come out in front of the audience what the scene is going to be, right?
You have no idea.
Cool.
And so, lots of disaster, I assume,
of course,
happen in episodes after, hopefully. Makes me look better.
But you you come out there and you're wearing the safari outfit.
Right.
And they start yelling things at you and you have to fire stuff back.
Professor, thank God you're here. What kept you?
I was shooting some big game. I shot an antelope, and a bison, and a giraffe, and a zebra, and an Oompa Loompa.
That's a guaranteed funny word right there.
Yeah.
Oompa Loompa.
I was keep throwing out words that might have seemed funny, and then Oompa Loompa scored.
I kept waiting for somebody else to then jump in, but they were not in a rush to...
No. They were like, he's just going to hang himself right here.
Let's just watch him go down.
They put their hands up at one point, and much like a dealer does when they're done dealing, and they're out.
Right.
Joel, did you have Oompa Loompa in your back pocket? I mean, is that a word that you were going to use no matter what the scene was on the other side of the tunnel?
No. Oompa Loompas are much larger than... No, I feel like Oompa Loompa is like the word spatula, and you can use it at any moment, and it is going to be hilarious. In fact, that will be my next show.
It's better than Oompa Loompa spatula. It's better than... That's a good band name, by the way.
Oompa Loompa Spatula?
It is good.
They're playing the Weenie Roast, right?
Exactly.
That's what I hear. I hear that, yeah. All right, let me ask you two technical questions about this show. One is there a laugh track, or is that all for real from the audience in front of you?
No, it's all real. They had one of the largest studio audiences I have ever seen.
Seriously?
We shot it at Wembley.
Seems a little big for a TV show.
But the good thing is if only 1/100th of them laugh, it sounds like you're killing in there,
right?
It does,
yes.
And the other thing is they don't do the show live, so do they clean it up and save you in the editing, or are we going to see on the TV tonight exactly what happened on the stage?
Well, I shot it in November, so it is not live.
I know that.
I'm just wondering if they
edit it.
But do they save you or do they just let you flounder?
Well, you heard what they were doing there, so they were just letting me go.
Floundering, yeah.
I don't know. They've got to have edited just for time, because the scenes can go on for a while, and hopefully they edit out the unfunny parts.
That scene went on for another 10 minutes before anyone else spoke.
It was
name and animals.
I continued to list things off. And it was very hard.
Now, you're one of the few guests we've had, Joel, who actually went to fancy acting school. I mean,
you
didn't just fall into
Seattle.
It. You actually trained for it, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Is improv part of that training? And is it a whole different set of skills?
No, nothing to do with it. I did, of course, I did like 10 years of improv starting in junior high before I ever went to fancy school. And now, of course, I'm using improv again. So thanks a lot, fancy school.
Yeah.
They did a lot for you, didn't they?
Yeah, lots of people in turtlenecks and smoking all the time. It did nothing. It is fun. I have friends from graduate school, and that we worked so hard to get there and all that stuff, and one of them called me about 2 years ago, and he's like, great news. What, did you get a role? No, I qualify for low-income housing in New York City.
No.
He pays $400 a month, and he's right on 42nd Street. I'm like, great. That's great. I can get into any audition. Really? Any auditions? No. Nothing. And then he cannot take jobs because his income will go over a certain... That's really sad.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, my God.
And so that's how the different people in my class turned out.
So that's worth it, you would say, going to fancy school? Worth it completely? Or?
Wow, from that little roundup, I would say not at all. Okay. But you know, I think it helped. I don't know. It just it focused me for 3 years, and that's the most focus I've ever been
on something besides weed.
Meth. It was my choice. Okay. In Seattle, we do meth and heroin.
Thank God you're here is the name of the new show. It's on tonight at 9 o'clock on NBC. Is it on each Monday night now?
It's on each Monday night. Tonight, I think they're running two episodes. I'm in the first episode, and Dave Foley is the judge. So
there's only one judge?
There's only one judge, which is great.
If he likes you.
It's like having a dictator just say no.
Off of his head.
Yeah. And
so, Joel,
yeah.
Is it because of you, then, that Studio 60 still isn't back on the air because you've got their time slot? Is that what's going on here?
Oh.
You bastard.
Well, I mean, so far, yeah.
Well, that was, I think their sketch writing was so good that I'm sorry. Sorry.
All right. Well, that's tonight at 9 on NBC. Joel, stick around for another one, because we're going to talk all things soup when you get back, too, if that's okay.
Oh, really? I was going to talk about a little show called Are You Smarter Than the Fifth Grader?
Let's not.
Or Are You Smarter Than...
Kevin, let's not do that. But we will take a break and go back with Joel McHale. Joel McHale is in the studio with us. He, of course, is the host of The Soup on Fridays on E! And now a new show tonight called Thank God You're Here on NBC at 9 o'clock.
Yes. Now, did I hear at the tail end of that song that Joel McHale comes into my house and makes fun of my lady? Is that what's going on in the studios, the world-famous K-Rock here this morning?
The problem is that your lady we all hate, so we're fine with that.
And she's not your lady.
How dare you disparage the great Tyra Banks? What is your problem, young man?
Well... This show is only, 5 hours long?
Come on,
I'll start, and you just shut
time.
Then we'll just shut the mic off, and I will just continue, and during commercial breaks, you'll be...
Before you tell the story, now, Joel, you should know, if you haven't seen The Soup, he's a guy who pretty much has carte blanche to make fun of all celebrities. He shows clips of all TV shows and basically just rips them for the bad shows are.
We try not to make fun of people that don't deserve it. You never hear us go, like... That Daniel Day-Lewis. What a wuss.
And I would imagine that you have occasionally received feedback on the shows that you spotlight on The Soup. And it sounds like maybe you heard from Bankable Productions.
Yeah, we've only heard... We actually have only heard from a couple... Hardly anyone except for, of course, I'll call it Ms. Banks camp.
They're the only ones that have contacted you.
They're the only ones that have had. We got in a little bit of trouble for making fun of this Mexican Dodge commercial that we made fun of the ad where a driver was, he got out of his truck and then a bear began gnawing on his foot and a hot nurse began massaging him.
Right.
And we just were like, we don't know why you would buy this truck based on this.
And they got, if you get bitten by a bear, a hot nurse will be there.
Right.
That's the service they provide. So, and not like OnStar.
Yes. See, that I think would sell a lot more Dodges. And so that they were upset with that, but there was no
because
problem.
They said you were making fun of Mexicans and you weren't. You were making fun of the TV.
Of bears.
Oh, bears.
And then,
bears.
Yeah, and then the bear union showed up.
Sure. You don't want to go across them.
Horrible.
Now tell us about Tyra, because you make fun of everyone on The Soup. I can't imagine.
I feel like we spread it out. And,
yeah, anything on television is fair game for The Soup. I mean, that's accepted.
Yeah, but when we say, oh, hey, Wiggy is back, or whatever it is, because she wears wigs every day.
Sure.
And self-admitted, or when she says, kiss my big fat ass.
I have one thing to say to you.
There you go.
Kiss my fat ass.
Yeah, what are we supposed to do with that? Not make fun of it?
No, she's begging for it.
Okay, and if you said to me, Joel, I have a lot of fears. One of them is dolphins.
Right.
I would not keep a straight face.
Of course not, and you shouldn't.
And or if you said...
But by the way, in that show where she was afraid of dolphins, she made everybody else face their fears for an hour, and then she
real
ran.
Real fears.
Yes, like heights or whatever. And,
yeah. Well, wide open spaces, other people. No, it's dolphins.
And she got in a pool with a trainer and a trained dolphin, and she turned and ran at the end of the show. Same thing with the stripper show, by the way.
Same thing with the stripper
show. She was a stripper. She couldn't go out and do it.
That was the first time she made fun of us, because we said, God forbid she walk out on stage scantily clad and try to make money, and then we showed the Victoria's Secret thing.
Of course.
Her walking out there, and
who's more comfortable on a stage than her? No, and she's like, I can't do it. I just can't do it.
And then she dressed up like a fat person.
Fat suit.
Yeah.
That's right.
She had the two gigantic women.
Yeah, she looked like the sandwich. And then she burst out crying. She's like, it must just be, basically it was saying, it must be so awful to be you. and probably so, but... Yeah. But we can't not. We can't.
She's so bad. But we used to be...
She's laughing all the way to the bank.
We all used to be... kind of friends of her, because she's a supermodel.
She came in a couple of times, and she was really nice.
She was fine.
She was delightful, yeah.
And,
yeah.
Look, and Bean somehow developed some kind of a psychotic, like, stalking love for her. And he won't give it up now. And we bring, every time since she got her show, we bring in proof. We say, Bean, listen to this. Now you've got to turn your back on her. Nothing does it. Stripper, fat, nothing.
I can't defend everything she's done on her talk show. I really can't. And there have definitely been some missteps. But I still like her very much. And I still hope to have her.
So when she retired her wings, much like Larry Bird did his number, into the rafters of the studio, you were like, yes, that's finally good. She has made the transition. That's what you
exactly
thought?
And what about the time she wore her bikini on the 10th anniversary of her Sports Illustrated, and they added fabric to it?
Yep, and then she
What's the point?
How important it was for her to be on that cover, and then she showed the cover. And then she had all the women in the audience wear bathing suits that had their weight printed on their bathing suit.
That's
and they
not
were
true.
Yelling
Joel,
out
that
their
didn't
weight.
Happen.
I don't think that's true.
What do you mean that didn't happen?
That part didn't happen.
Did it happen?
He sounds like one of those crazy
he is.
Fundamentalists.
The Holocaust
like, we
not
never
exist.
Went to the moon. That was set up in a Hollywood studio. Never
Bean.
Went. No way.
That's Bean.
Can't leave. God won't let us.
That's Bean.
did they really make the girls yell out their weight when they were wearing swimsuits?
They did.
I didn't see that part.
Oh, I missed that part.
that's just
and
bad.
We smoked in, or we put special effects. We put our chihuahua in there anyway, too.
Joel, what did you hear from Tyra's people? Did they ask you to stop using clips?
Well, they just don't like us using the clips.
So what?
And
you can, right?
Well,
not yes.
You have to get permission. To use clips.
Oh, you can. Okay.
Well, it's they just don't. They just are not too happy. And as we were talking about on the break, if anybody should be upset, it's Steven Seagal.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because we've made fun of his movies just a lot, and or people who
I don't think he's aware that anyone else exists, let
that
alone
is true.
Any show making fun of him. He's
and
out.
He
of
has
it.
His own gravitational pull now.
He does.
So large.
He does. He's quite big.
It's weird that Pluto's not a planet anymore, but Steven Seagal is. That is kind of weird.
Hey, been
let me ask you one more thing, because I know we're running out of time here, and I thought of you when we had some listeners call last week. Apparently, there's a new Bachelor, and I know the Bachelor is your favorite. And this guy is an officer in the Navy and also a doctor. Is that his story?
Yes.
Wow.
And our first question was, shouldn't he be in Iraq?
second question is, does he need to go on TV to find a woman?
If you saw how primped and polished and how much this guy works out, I think he does need
to go
on TV.
Okay, does he need to go on TV to find
a
man?
Obnoxious?
Then I should say.
I wish they would open it up. he is. It's you know. It's I can't. It's once again this fake reality of people of 30 women mm-hmm. that they find crazy women they find in this country who are really think they're going
to find love,
find true love. Yeah. It's really weird.
And if only they win the cat fight.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. People are like, that's fine. I will be a part of this reality. I'm on board for 30 weeks.
But Flavor of Love, greatest show ever.
Well, greatest show. Skank Bachelor, it's the greatest.
Flavor of Love now has Charm School with Monique. You know about that, right? It's coming out
yes.
soon.
Because
all the chicks from Flavor of Love going to Charm School hosted by Monique.
Right, because the queen of etiquette.
I don't think I get that either.
Her stand-up is so so I can't. I thank God for VH1 and just keeping the train going.
Remember the girls of Flavor of Love. Remember this chick who was who got in a fight and then was praying.
Please forgive me for any sins in which I committed. Those I know and those I don't know, Lord. Please forgive me for beating this bitch ass today, Lord. Lord, please forgive me for thinking about beating her ass again, Lord. Please rebuke all these demons that's in this house, Lord. I pray.
Is that really necessary?
Boy, you better quit interrupting my prayers before God direct me to whoop your ass.
Yeah. Love them.
It is the golden age of television, Jordan.
I have been praying. I have never used bitch ass before.
You haven't?
And now I feel like I can.
Well, you're not really in touch.
No, you're not in touch. I open the door up.
Here's the last question I have for you, Joel, and that is, when The Soup is on this Friday night on E!, will you be playing and making fun of clips from Thank God You're Here, which debuts tonight on NBC at 9?
Well,
TV show host that's on it.
Yeah, if I eat it and I look as Skeletorish as I usually do on mm-hmm. camera, then my guess is yes.
Right.
We made fun of me when I was on CSI Miami.
Well, you should have.
Because where I was like, who the hell asked this douchebag? What are they trying to do?
That's a bad decision, right?
If we have, I'm sure we'll probably put something in.
By the way, you can download The Soup, too, on iTunes. Did you know that? I watched that on my video iPod.
Yes, I see no money from that.
Excellent. So that's the way he'd like you to watch it.
He is able to make some money on that. I am not.
Excellent.
That's great.
So The Soup is on Fridays at 10 o'clock on E! And then they run them a few more times over the weekend.
It's 800 times.
800 times. And Thank God You're Here is on tonight. And are you going to be on any other shows besides just tonight? Do you return? Or?
No, I don't. Well, I can't
say. So you weren't good.
Well, I guess I can't.
You just already said.
No, yeah,
what do they judge him and then they bring the people who won back or
something?
The
person that won comes back.
Oh, okay.
So, so we get to watch you show up and
Banks
fail
won.
Tonight.
Tyra Banks, yeah. Well, she's a genius.
No, I want to be. Tyra, I'd like to be on your show. Can you have me on your show? That'd be great.
Yeah, she takes suggestions from this station all the time.
I bet she does.
All right, good luck. Monday, tonight, 9 o'clock, NBC. Joel McHale is on Thank God You're Here. There's two episodes of it, but he's on the first one.
Great.
Fantastic. Thanks, dude.
Thanks, you guys.
Appreciate it.
All right, let's check the email bag. You can write to any of us. Go to KROQ.com for all of our email addresses. As you know, former KROQ intern Nicole has a link on our website. We are encouraging people to make a donation for the breast cancer walk that she's going to be participating in coming up in San Diego. And in return for a donation, she's mailing you pictures of her boobs, which I think is a win-win situation.
Sure.
Here's an email from Adrian in Newport Beach who asks a very good question. Guys, is it wrong that it took an intern providing boob shots in exchange for a donation to get me to finally donate money on behalf of my grandmother who died from breast cancer? Grandma dies, doesn't think to like give a dime to the cause. All of a sudden, Nicole, hottie with the boobs? All right, I'm in. Let me write a check.
That's awesome.
I don't think it's wrong. I think you're doing the right thing, Adrian. Well done.
Now, finally, you're doing the right thing.
Right.
We got a lot of email about beer pong because we said we were going to play it at Santa Anita. And the funny thing about something like beer pong is that everybody plays it, but everybody plays it differently.
Yes.
So everybody was incensed. There was no one happy on Friday when we were talking about beer pong.
Yeah, everybody's like freaked out about the rules. You're thinking, it's a drinking game. Who cares?
I got an email from Jorge saying, all those guys and girls that called you about how to play beer pong are idiots. This is how we used to play. Here's another one. My friend and I are in a team called the Hong Kong Danger Duo. Look at them.
Wait a second. How are they the Hong Kong Danger Duo?
Couldn't be whiter. We also make our own table specifically designed for beer pong. Hey, guys, they've got it all wrong. Here's another one. I was listening earlier to the beer pong, and all I have to say is the guy that you talked to is retarded. The girl that you talked to is retarded. We probably got 100 beer pong emails easily.
I had no idea we touched a nerve.
Yeah, it was crazy.
It's like the Monopoly game on The Sopranos last night. You know, yes. House rules. Everybody plays with right. a little different spin on it. And some people are sticklers, like Bobby last night says you got to play it by the rules. And other people say, no, we have variations on the game. Same kind of thing with beer pong. How was it, Lisa? Was it a big fun Saturday?
It was really fun. I think everybody had a great time. I had to drive to my mom's afterward for an Easter thing.
Oh.
So I actually had someone drink for me.
You had a designated drinker.
I did.
A lot of people have a designated driver. Lisa goes the other way.
And the crowd booed me.
They were
really, really pissed.
They should have booed you because
but they don't
you,
know my mom.
You said you were going to be there pounding some brews.
That's right. Well, you lied, Lisa.
I'm
Lighting
sorry.
Says that he has posted video of the event on
good.
The Kevin and Bean
oh,
page.
Oh, good. Okay.
I didn't know we had the opportunity to do that.
That's outstanding news. All right, here's an email from Fernando, and I love this. Hey, Kevin and Bean, I know that in showbiz, you can be on a popular show now and be gone next week. We've all seen how TV shows have replaced cast members mid-season, hoping that people won't notice, like Roseanne did, or they did with the Darrens back on Bewitched. But I never thought that radio would do the same thing and think that no one would know. Frankly, I was shocked when I went to the sites section of the Kevin and Bean page at krock.com, and I opened up the picture labeled Dave the King of Mexico and the love of his life, Kristen Bell. And there I saw, staring back at me, Saturday Night Live's Horatio Sanz instead. Look, I know that most of your audience is high, but we're not stupid. What happened to Dave? Seriously. Fernando's right. It looks more like Horatio Sanz than it does like the King of Mexico, I know. But there is a picture of someone claiming to be the king with TV's Veronica Mars, Kristen Bell, at krock.com. If you want to check out the picture and you be the judge. Are we trying to pull one over on you or not?
By the way, after last week's Clipper-Laker game that the Clippers unfortunately won, she called back the next day to rub it in. She called Dave.
She is amazing.
Dave's like, is this really? Oh, wow. How are you doing? I was like, no way. She's calling him.
Hi, this is Kristen Bell, and you're listening to the Dave the King of Mexico show right. on the world famous K-Rock.
Come on.
All right. So I was listening to you guys last week, busting up because of the subject matter. I'm one of those people who can make myself orgasm by concentrating mentally.
Oh, sweet.
Wow. And without having to touch anything at all.
Is this a boy or a girl?
Girl.
Okay.
Call me if you'd like.
Yes, we would.
Can you imagine having the power to just think about it and have it happen?
You know, we had someone on a couple of years ago who actually had CDs that he said if you listen to these, you could learn to do that.
Yeah. Totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
To find out more about that,
yeah.
then.
Yeah.
And I have one more. This is from a K-Rock listener named Samantha, who's very, very upset. Apparently, her father was listening the day we took phone calls from people who were terrified about zombies. You
right.
know, that seems
sure.
to be. And by the way, bad news for all the zombie fearers out there now that this new Robert Rodriguez movie is in theaters, you know, because that's all about the zombies
yep.
coming and eating you up, right?
Yep.
Well, you guys had a very serious conversation on the air, and a few months later, listen to what my dad has now accomplished. He has boarded up all the windows in his house for protection so the zombies can't get to us and kill our brains out, as he says.
Awesome. Kill our brains out.
He has removed all of the doors and in their place has put cement walls, and now we can't even get into the house because we have no doors. The only way to get in or out of the house is to climb up a ladder to the fourth floor. I just wanted to say thanks for your conversation and making my dad insane. Now I have no friends and just half a dad. So that's Samantha, apparently, what she's going through with her dad, who really is, at least he's doing something. At least he's taking steps to prevent getting eaten by zombies, which is more than most of us are doing.
You need to write her back so we can get her on the phone and talk
right.
to
her. Yeah, definitely.
That'd be fascinating. And finally, dear Kevin and Bean, they play K-Big at work. I know it sucks, but that's what they play at work. And I heard the Denise Williams song, Let's Hear It for the Boy. Uh-huh. I immediately started laughing because it reminded me of the tape of Bean's cheesy Footloose pun. I had to relive that moment in time, so I went to the Kevin and Bean page of krock.com and played that magical piece of tape. Even the oldie oldsters at work were laughing their asses off. Thanks again for the magic, Bean. Sincerely, Danny.
Nice.
This is what he's talking about.
BGC, I still love that song. From DC. Almost sprained myself right down there in the ankle every time I hear it. You might say it almost made my foot loose.
If you want to win a Guitar Hero 2 for Xbox.
Damn.
We're going to play a game next.
Yes.
And it involves the inability of me to find things that sometimes are in my head, sometimes they're not. But I can't remember them even if they are.
These were in your head a long, long time ago.
Is Kevin smarter than a fifth grader's name of the game? 1-800-520-1067. You call and we'll play next.
We're going to do that right after the news. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Ralph is here with the showbiz. B-Ralph, what's going on?
Take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, shall we? Blades of Glory still holding on there at the number one slot. $23 million it made this weekend, making it number one for 2 weeks in a row. Then Meet the Robinsons,
Number two for 2 weeks in a row made $17 million. Then Are We Done Yet? Yes, yeah. The sequel to Are We There Yet? Brought in $15 million in its debut weekend, good enough to make it number
three.
How was
it, Kevin?
I didn't see it.
Really?
No.
Okay.
No, no.
Grindhouse came in at number four.
Saw that.
The 3.5-hour movie only made $11.6 million at the box office.
Did you like it?
I did, yeah. I did. I liked the first half better than the second half.
That's what I'm saying.
But People Magazine, you see that? Other way around.
Really?
People Magazine said that the Tarantino part was better than the first
part. I've read a few reviews like that, and I just don't know what movie they're watching.
Yeah.
I liked them both about the same, to tell you the truth.
You guys are complaining about how slow the Sopranos were and all of the chatter in the middle of that second one that went on for 10 years.
That's what I'm saying, brother. I think it could have been tightened a little bit, but
no, I think we needed more conversations about falling in a ditch at a diner. We needed that conversation to go on longer.
It went on forever. But they do get you to care about those people before they're just thrown into a car chase, you know?
Yeah, or maybe you care not, about maybe. The people, and then they're thrown in a car chase, and then they start a brand new movie where you care about four new people, and then they go into a car chase.
Right.
How many movies does he want to make?
I
only got two. I got to sit through two now. I can't sit through three.
Overall, it was great. The commercials for the movies in between,
the
great.
The trailers were
awesome.
Yeah.
How much do you want to see Machete?
Oh, I can't wait.
Machete would be the best.
I hope they actually make some of those.
That should have been the second movie.
That would be awesome.
Quentin Tarantino, by the way, Thursday morning on the Kevin DeBede Show. Ralph, you can discuss your complaints about his half of the production.
QT and I are going to throw down.
I think I liked his half better.
Oh, now? That you know it's coming Thursday? The Reaping was number five at the box office. He got reaped at the box office. $10 million in its debut weekend. That's a shame. 300 was number six at the box office. Then Wild Hogs, Shooter, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and Firehouse Dog. Only made $4 million. Good enough to make it number 10 in the box office this weekend.
Firehouse.
How was that one, Kevin?
Poor Firehouse.
Oh, you didn't see that one either?
No.
Wow, you're slipping.
You sure are. Here's the way you make a theater full of children scream.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to hear this.
Apparently, there was a packed crowd at a theater on Long Island in New York to see The Last Mimsy.
Okay. All right.
So you got wall-to-wall kids and parents. The lights go down. And the crowd sees the opening scene from The Hills Have Eyes 2.
Oh.
Which depicts a chained woman giving birth to a mutant. She's chained to the wall.
Oh.
Next thing you have screaming, crying children, traumatized parents.
That's not funny!
People running out of the theater screaming.
Oh.
And as you can imagine, some embarrassed theater staffers who ended up having to give all the patrons free ticket vouchers and free soda and free popcorn. And
that's a big oops.
They started The Last Mimsy about a half an hour late, and not to mention the emotional distress payments you're going to make when their lawyers get a hold of them. But you got your kids there. You got 4- and 5-year-olds. You're going to see a little Mimsy, a little stuffed bunny from the future that helps everyone have a very special happy ending. And there's a woman raped and chained to a wall squirting out a mutant baby.
And that's not good?
Not what you want to see.
Not
in
a good
family
substitution?
Theater. No, not even. Right. And oh, dear God, let this story be true. Star Magazine reporting that American Idol judge Paula Abdul.
Yes.
Was seen drunk and making out with her boyfriend at St. Cyril of Jerusalem Catholic Church in Encino, California.
Oh, my God. At church, drunk and making out.
That's what they're claiming.
Fantastic.
The pair were sitting in a pew and started kissing. Then she started rubbing his chest, and then she reportedly passed out in his lap. Her representatives are denying the story, saying she was at a spa treatment at the time. She wasn't even there.
Hmm.
Who was it then?
It was Sanjaya. That's my guess.
She has famously said she never has been drunk.
No, she's never been drunk.
Just watching you, I feel what you're just feeling so much joy, and it's exciting. I feel I'm one big goosebump, and I just am so excited for you because look at you. I mean, this is it for you. This is it for you. You're so good.
What are they applauding? She didn't say anything.
They were just waiting for her to stop. So
a lot of pronouns. Today's celebrities' birthdays is Albert Hammond Jr., guitarist for The Strokes, 27 years old today. Keisha Knight Pulliam, she was Little Rudy Huxtable on The Cosby Show.
How old was she on that show?
I said she was the youngest of the Huxtables, and then someone got cheesed off of me and saying there was somebody else. They had another
Raven
little...
Raven
Simone, yeah. But she was like...
She was on The Cosby Show?
Yeah, she was somebody's daughter. Right? Wasn't she like a granddaughter or something?
She was Eldon, the white black guy, and the oldest daughter's kid, right?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
When they went to medical school?
She was a grandchild or something.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, she was legitimately she wasn't,
so
the youngest.
Keisha wasn't the youngest actress on the show, but she was the youngest of the Huxtable clan.
But she was like 3 or 4 when she was on the show, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Really
tight. Now she's 28 years old. Ooh. How time flies. Paulina Poroskova, actress and model, 42 years old today. Dennis Quaid turns 53. And Hugh Hefner, Hef, Playboy magazine founder and all-around good guy, 81 years old today. He celebrated his birthday at the Playboy Club in Vegas the week before I was there, and I was talking to some of the staff there. They said, you should have seen this place when Hef rolled in. When Hef rolls, he rolls deep. Know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What's your guess on how many women Hef has enjoyed in his long life?
There has yet to be some sort of calculating device that can count that high.
Yeah, it has to be. And they're all hot.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, could it be 5,000? I mean, could it be crazy
it
like
could.
That?
Of course it could.
Easily. I think the magazine's been around for...
Since the
60s? 50s. 55, 50s? I think. 56. So that's 50 years of women. And he's probably banged...
Yeah,
all of them. Like I said, I can't
all begin to count.
All. He's had sex with all women. That's
all is the answer.
All is the answer. Happy birthday, Hef. Like you need it. Like you need it. A special day that's happy for you. Every day's your birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Kevin, I think this is why we choose you for these games, because
why?
You say things to us like, what's that guy's name that hosts that show? It's a top 10 show this season. It's currently on the air if you don't know
I
the guy's
it.
Name.
Right, because it's top 10 doesn't mean I watch
but
it.
But you would have heard of it.
Big star, comedy
Listen.
Star for years.
Had
his own sitcom. Has been
for like 7 years he had his own sitcom.
Huge moneymaker touring around the country.
You know, blue collar comedy tour.
You know that video game that has the stuffed animals in it, and it's got the little arm that goes and it drops down and it picks up the
The claw.
My arm is broken. The claw is broken, and there's stuff in my brain not accessible. There's stuff also not in my brain that comes in and goes right back out. That's why, and I'm frankly surprised it took you guys this long to get around to. Is Kevin smarter than a fifth grader? Because it's been on for a while.
Yeah.
And the answer clearly is no.
Well, we're going to find out. We got a phenomenal prize. We'll describe it in a moment. But first, how about that awesome new theme song? Is Kevin smarter than a fifth grader on camera?
Kevin. Are you smarter than a fifth grader? Kevin. 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 Kevin.
Wow, and we busted the bank on that one.
He is the host of the hit show on Fox. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the studio, Jeff Foxworthy, joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
If you can answer these questions, you may be smarter than a fifth grader.
Now, we have an awesome prize for whoever gets, I guess we'll probably have more than one qualifier, and then we'll do a drawing and find out who wins the prize. But today we're going to give you a brand new copy of Guitar Hero 2, which Kevin is awesome. Why? Why is Guitar Hero 2 the one you want?
Well, it has a lot of great songs, and you can pretty much be the lead guitarist, even though you can't play guitar. It rules.
And this version's for the Xbox 360.
That's correct.
Fantastic.
Just came out for the Xbox.
New.
Right.
And it's not as good as a gun rack on the back of your pickup truck, but it'll do the job.
All right. So, Jeff, the way it's going to work, as I understand it, is we're going to go to the callers, and you're going to have a question that you're going to be asking Kevin. And all the caller really needs to tell us is whether they think he is going to know the answer or not, whether he is actually going to show up as smarter than a fifth grader, correct?
Exactly. I'll read the question, and then the listener can listen to it. And then they'll say, I think Kevin will or will not know that. And then Kevin will give us his answer or more than likely not.
Can I just tell you how this is going to go? Here's a little summary of how it's going to go. Question. No. That's how it's going to go.
Well,
the whole game. Entertaining.
Let's find out. Guitar Hero 2 for Xbox 360 for some lucky listener at the end of the segment. We'll start with Mike in Woodland Hills. Mike, you're on with Jeff Foxworthy. Listen up.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Hey, Mike. Now, keep in mind, all these questions are fourth and fifth grade level questions, Kevin.
Yeah.
Fourth and fifth grade level.
Yeah.
Okay? Kevin, if you have a gross of pencils, how many pencils do you have?
A gross.
From fourth grade, weights and measurements. If you have a gross of pencils, how many pencils do you have? Mike, you think Kevin will or will not know this answer?
I do not think Kevin will know this answer.
All right, Mike.
Safe bet.
Kevin, how many pencils do you have if you have a gross?
The only number that's coming to my head is 144. but I don't know if that's...
That is absolutely
is it right?
right.
Yes!
You're kidding.
Absolutely right. A gross is a dozen dozens, which is 144.
How do you like me now, Mike?
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
See what happens when you doubt the great Kevin.
Kevin, smart, and then a fifth grader.
Fourth grade question. All right, let's go to Jesse in Glendora. Jesse, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin Demian Show. Listen up. Here's Jeff with Kevin's question.
Kevin, what is the official currency of Puerto Rico? Now, who's online? Who we have here?
It's Jesse.
Jesse, you think Kevin will or will not know the answer to this question?
Jesse, are you there?
Jesse.
All right, let's move
on. Jerome.
Mario and Pico Rivera, hi.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Ask the question one more time, Ralph, please.
What is the official currency of Puerto Rico?
Dude, he is so not going to know that.
Does not know this, all right? Kevin,
he doesn't even know your name, Jeff. You're hosting the show.
What is the official currency of Puerto Rico?
I'm going to say American dollar.
The U.S. dollar is correct.
Come on, Mario.
Kevin is smarter than a fifth grader.
If you would have asked me what the word is that they are, and that's why they have it, Puerto Rico is
territory.
I wouldn't have come up with that.
Okay, so far, no one's winning the Guitar Hero 2 except for Kevin, which is not the way we wanted the game to go.
Let's
try Jason in Whittier. Jason, let's make sure you're there first before Jeff asks the question. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, Kevin, here's your question. What is the plural form of the word moose?
Moose?
Jason, you think Kevin will or will not know this?
I think he will.
All right, Kevin, what is the plural form of the word moose?
Not mice. Mooses. I'm going to just go with moose. I'm going to say it's the same.
Moose is the plural for moose.
Kevin!
You're absolutely right. Three in a row.
How about that?
However, Jason correctly identified that Kevin was going to know that one, so he is in the drawing for Guitar Hero 2 for Xbox.
Okay. All right.
Good guess, Jason.
Let's go to
coming around.
Paul in Fountain Valley. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, guys.
Paul, here's Kevin's question.
Okay.
Kevin, what planet is closest to our sun? In our solar system, what planet is closest to the sun? Now, do you think he will or will not know this?
I think he will. He's pretty smart.
You think he will know this? All right, Kevin, what planet in our solar system is closest to the sun?
That's a great question.
Yes, I'm deeply hurt that if you don't know this, by the way.
It's not Pluto, which is not even a planet. I know that.
This is fourth grade science, by the way.
I'm going to say, I don't know, but I'm just going to guess Mercury.
You're absolutely
yes!
right.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely right.
Paul knew
way
it.
There you go, Paul. Yep, Paul is in the drawing for Guitar Hero. By the way, you know, Kevin has an additional advantage, besides having learned all of this in elementary school, is that he has, in recent years, been helping his kids who have gone through elementary school with all of this in their homework, I would imagine.
Helping is a pretty loose term. Just realizing how little I know is more like it.
All right, let's move along to John in Whittier. We're playing Is Kevin Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? John, are you there?
Yeah, good morning to you.
Good morning, John. Listen here's up. Kevin's here's question. Jeff. Kevin, at sea level, water begins to boil at how many degrees Fahrenheit? Fifth grade science. At sea level, water begins to boil at how many degrees Fahrenheit? John, will he know or not know this question?
I believe he will know.
He will know. All right, Kevin. How many degrees does water boil degrees Fahrenheit at sea level?
212?
212 degrees is right.
Yes.
Don't look at me like that,
what?
Lisa.
I don't know. Listen, sometimes the information's available, sometimes it's not.
This is insane.
Apparently, Kevin's brain is stuck in the fifth grade. That's why he doesn't know other stuff.
All right,
he's exactly as smart as a fifth grader.
John is in the running also for Guitar Hero. Am I wrong, or has Kevin gotten
every single question right so far?
All right, nice. I think we have time for one more contestant here. Let's try Kelly down in Redondo Beach. Hey, Kelly, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks.
Kelly's in the Air Force, so she has plenty of time to sit around and play Guitar Hero. They're not doing anything, right?
Don't we have a war going on or something, Kelly?
All right, Kelly, here's Kevin's question. You need to guess whether he will or will not know the answer. Kevin, the only U.S. president with the first name Benjamin had what last name?
Benjamin.
Now, Kelly, do you think he will know or not know the answer to this question? Kelly?
I think he will not know.
He will not know.
Not know. All right.
Fourth grade history, Kevin. The only U.S. president with the first name Benjamin had what last name?
Harrison?
Harrison is correct.
Isn't that the house you made us go to, Bean?
Yes, we visited Benjamin Harrison's house in Indiana when we were there for
and
the playoffs.
And I hated Bean for that every second.
And that's absolutely
but it helped today.
And it helped today, right?
Sorry about that. He actually knew that Kevin is as smart as a fifth grader.
Somehow I don't feel like I won.
One thing we have learned today is Kevin is exactly as smart as a fifth grader.
Or at least you got Jason, you got Paul, you got John.
All right, and the winner is Jason from Whittier.
All right, the first
we
guy
got
to
a
win.
Winner!
Jason, congratulations.
No.
You got the Xbox 2 Guitar Hero 2. Xbox Guitar Hero 2.
Xbox 360.
Yes.
Guitar Hero 2.
Okay, I got the answer.
Kevin's as smart as a fifth grader, but not as smart as your average broadcaster.
We got to talk about something that's very painful, and I think we should maybe a special warning for guys listening is just try too hard to not visualize some of the conversation we're going to be talking about here in the next few minutes.
Due to some graphic and mature content, parental discretion is advised.
We should also.
And we do want to warn you that some of the language in this story is strong, and it may offend you, it may offend some other people. We have decided to leave it in the story for you to decide.
There's no sex in this these stories that we're about to talk about, but there are definitely penis injuries going on here.
If you have little kids, you might not want to have them hear this. But we did take a call on What Did Your Nephew at the end of the show, maybe 2 weeks ago or something like that, and we've taken two or three since. This topic seems to come up all the time, and we're forced to get on the radio and tell people to take care of their penises. What's going on here?
I don't know. You should treasure them.
This guy was drunk. He's the guy that started it all this last round. And he was drunk and apparently playing a really, really fun game with his friend, and it ended up very badly.
Yeah, so listen, I was at a bar with my buddies a couple weeks ago, and we were walking back, and we couldn't wait to get back to the hotel, so we stopped on the side of the road to, take a leak.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And my buddy peed on my shoes, so I decided to chase him down to try to repay the favor. And unfortunately, I tripped with my junk out and slid home on my gear.
Oh! Oh, my God.
You slid on the asphalt on your penis?
Yes, sir. I left quite a hefty road rash.
Oh!
Oh, man, have you ever had a road rash? You know how much
well,
that hurts?
Well, I certainly scraped my knee before, yeah.
On asphalt.
It hurts a lot.
Or your hip or something?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that hurts a lot.
Can you imagine?
Can you imagine?
You should never try to run with your penis out. Just as a general rule of thumb.
That's another piece of good advice. Don't run with your penis hanging out. So falling on the asphalt, bad. Then we took a call last week, I think it was even on Friday, from a guy who said that his younger brother was trying to shave and ended up cutting himself bad enough that he had to take him to the hospital. And the doctor asked him if he just wanted him to go ahead and finish the circumcision.
Oh, my God.
Due to the graphic nature of this program, parental discretion is advised.
Get an idea for what happened there.
He was shaving in the shower.
Yes.
And slipped somehow.
Yes.
And went a number of inches away from where he was trying to shave.
Yes. And cut so pretty badly.
Don't do that, is what we're saying.
So, penis injuries, we got to do it again.
Yeah.
It's just our way of warning people. Women say that there's nothing to compare to having a baby. Maybe. There's also nothing to compare with hurting your penis.
Or the boys, I suppose.
Or the boys. I was pitching in high school, got a line drive right back, fell to the ground.
Wanted to die.
My coach came out and said, "You know everyone's watching you, right?" I said, "I don't care." It was the worst. There's nothing worse than
that. I've heard it's bad.
So
now,
bad.
Psycho Mike, you've done some pitching and some catching. Have you ever been injured like that?
Yeah, the type of pitching and catching I do gets really rough, cowboy.
That's what I thought.
All right, let's say good morning to Brian in Orange. Good morning, Brian. Hello. What's going on with our phones today? Brian, are you there?
I don't know.
Let me just try it one more time. Brian, one more time. Are you there? Caught it in a zipper.
Oh.
That's not what
see now that's got to be one of the most common of the penis injuries, I would imagine, but that doesn't mean it hurts any less because it happens frequently.
You know what I do? I don't have my penis in the way when I'm zipping.
Wear underwear.
Just a thought.
There's a thought.
Just a thought.
Yeah.
I don't know how you could do that, but wow. So 1-800-520-1067. The lines, unfortunately, are completely full, as you knew they would be. Penis injuries. We have to do it like every 6 months to warn people off.
You know, I just think if you can't take care of it, you shouldn't have one.
That's correct. You have to give it up.
Yeah.
That's right.
You must be 18 or older to listen in on this line.
And a warning here. We're dealing with a sensitive subject, which is not suitable for young children.
We're Talking about penis injuries, 1-800-520-1067. You know, Kevin, you're right. We have to let the steam off about every 6 months. We have so many calls. I mean, we're not going to have time to take all of these, for God's sakes, because apparently people are getting hurt out there a lot.
Well, it builds up and builds up, and people keep calling in and say, oh, I hurt myself this, oh, I hurt myself that way. What are you people doing?
Come on.
Let's start with Dr. Steve, who's calling from Newport. I bet he's seen his share of penis injuries as a physician. Hey, Doc, thanks for calling the Kevin Bean Sean K-Rock. Which one sticks out in your mind as being your favorite of all the penis injuries?
Yeah, when I was doing my residency, I had a hunter come in, and he had a rifle in his left hand and a revolver, 38 revolver in his right hand. He was checking to see if the revolver was empty, and he was trying to open it with one hand. Discharge went right through the shaft of his penis.
Dude.
So what little was left of it, they were trying to reconstruct, but it basically looked like they took a sledgehammer and hit it about 10 times. There wasn't much left.
Oh, God.
Wow. That sounds bad.
Young guy. It pretty much looked like it ruined his life.
Now, when people come in, you're a doctor, when people come in and they've got some kind of a penis injury, does that just shoot through the you know, everybody's like, oh, you'll never back up. Oh, like in room eight hurt himself.
Exactly.
Yeah. Sure.
Everybody wants to make sure it. Something like that never happens to them.
A 38 right through your penis.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. Don't advise that. Thank you, Steve.
Good times.
Let's see. Let's go with Brian in Fullerton. I'm not sure if we talked to Brian before or not, but it sounds familiar. Brian?
Yeah.
Did you tell us this story before?
No. First time calling.
Oh, my God. That means there's another person that this happened to. Go ahead and tell us what you did.
Oh, well, first, hi, Lisa.
Hello.
And second, I hurt my penis by.
What was that?
How did you hurt yourself, Brian?
Oh, was that a paintball match with three of my friends? We were just about to start a game. We were talking over strategy. I accidentally shot a friend of mine in the leg with my paintball gun.
That hurts. For those of you who haven't done that, it'll leave a welt.
Yeah.
It really hurts.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, this is within 2 or 3 feet from each other, so a friend decided to return the favor, but he aimed a little off.
And hit your junk.
Yeah.
With a paintball.
With a 68 caliber paintball gun, paintball going at 300 feet per second.
Oh,
oh my God.
Now, how long did that hurt, Brian?
Oh, it knocked me out for the entire day. I dropped to my knees, started to scream, but nothing came out, and...
I love that. That's the extreme scream where you don't actually hear any sound.
Yeah, my friends had to drag me home. It was not pretty.
Oh,
good deal.
At least it happened before you started. That's good. Thanks for calling.
Let's talk to Tim in Norwalk. I am trying to get my head around any circumstances under which this could happen. But, Tim, we're talking about penis injuries on the Kevin Bean Sean K-Rock. What happened to you, my friend?
Okay, well, me and my friend were up in Big Bear, and it was snowing. And for some reason, we decided to run outside in just our underwear.
Right. Because you were drunk. What do you mean, for some reason? Because you were drinking.
No, we just wanted, I don't know why.
You were smoking pot.
No.
Wow, that makes it a worse story.
Yeah, now you're just stupid.
Yeah.
All right, so you ran outside.
Yeah, we were running, and I kind of tripped over my own feet, and when I landed, my underwear slipped down my legs, and my penis got burned.
Oh, an ice burn on your penis?
On the ice.
An ice burn.
Oh, my God.
Dude.
It got burned, some of it got cut, and it was just bad.
Oh. Oh. People, please take care of these things.
Yeah.
They're not you
keep your pants on.
You only get one, right? You issued one at the beginning, and it has to last you your whole life. So don't be careless with this, what we're saying.
Mark and Hemet, good morning.
Hey, what's up?
Well, we're giving people these scary stories so that they will learn to take care of what they have.
Mark, what's up is we're doing a phone topic that we're already regretting. Now we know why we have to wait 6 months before we can even listen to these calls again.
What happened?
I was at the hardware store loading a bag of cement into the, you know, shopping cart, and I was wearing gym shorts, and it just, when I put the bag into the cart, it just grabbed the tip right between the cart and the,
and the cement bag?
Yeah.
How was it that close?
Well, because I had to, like, because the shopping cart was high, so I had to kind of lean forward with my body, with my hips, you know, to throw the bag over the cart.
Did you fall to the ground and no one knew what the hell was going on with you?
No, I didn't fall to the ground, but it was excruciating pain. I got a little skin tap on the end now, you know?
Nice.
Ow.
Yeah.
Souvenir.
Ow. All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. I'm getting dizzy now, and I don't know. I don't know how many more of these I can take.
Maybe we have to take two.
You guys should wear cups at all times.
We should.
I think so. Just to take these phone calls, I feel like I should have a cup on.
They don't have cups that big for me, though. John in Simi Valley. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, John.
What happened to you, dude?
I was at a frat party. We got really drunk, and I lost a bet.
Yeah, we can't really say that word as much as we can't really say that word.
No.
So he put a thermometer in his penis on purpose because of a bet.
Oh, my. Did you?
I don't really want to go back.
Okay. I have so many questions.
I don't think he'd be.
No, I'm sure.
How'd that feel, I wonder?
Good. Nick and Covina, good morning.
Good morning. That was amazing.
Hi, Nick.
This might be my favorite one. I don't know how you could have done this.
And well, Kelly, we apologize. We're not going to get to you with who had a tick in his penis. I'm sorry we don't have time for that call, but I think that's worth mentioning. Nick?
Or when Young caught in a pogo, don't have time for that.
Nick, what happened to you, dude?
Well, I was in high school, and, you know, everyone sneaks off into the bathroom to smoke a joint, you know?
Right.
So we're in there, and there's three stalls. Me and my buddies are passing them around, and, you know, I had to take a dump. So pulled my pants down and went to take a dump, and next thing I know is when I was ashing the joint in the toilet, it burned my penis.
So you burned your penis with a joint?
Yeah. And I kicked the door open, ran out with my junk hanging out and just throwing water on it, and the proctor came in and caught us.
Oh, my God. I bet your friends were laughing their asses off.
Yeah, I still haven't lived it down.
God. What do you guys do over there after the show's aired? You just send the tape straight over to the Smithsonian?
Yeah, I guess we should today.
Yeah, pretty much. K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 7:54.
I love the Beach Boys. That's my favorite band.
Shins, actually.
Shins. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's got to be a Heather Mills song. It wouldn't be awesome if they made her dance to that on Dancing with the Stars, Phantom Limb. Wouldn't that be the coolest?
Because she only has one leg?
Yeah. You know, they say those people who lose a limb or part of a limb, they do feel it. They feel like it is still there. I mean, Phantom Limb is an actual phenomenon from amputees.
Initially.
At first, yeah.
It doesn't last forever, though. You don't keep walking around.
Oh, I forgot it didn't have a leg. Yeah. I thought it was there. I went to step on it. It's gone.
Still pretty cool, though. And it's an odd thing to write a song about, that's for sure. It's 7:54 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Actor Shia LaBeouf next hour. Also, Psycho Mike. Mike, we got to get him off this show. He's driving us crazy. We have lined up an interview with him to go for a new job after 8 o'clock this morning. He's going to audition for a new job, and we'll be there to hear it. That's coming up on K-Rock right now. Ralph's got the showbiz beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend are pretty much like the top 10 movies at the box office last weekend. At least the first two are. Blades of Glory made another $23 million this weekend, made it number one again by far. People love Will Ferrell on ice skates.
Yes,
all
they
I got to say. Meet the Robinsons was number two at the box office, made $17 million. It's Disney 3D. You know.
Sure.
You can see in
3D. I hear it's really great.
Are we done yet? Apparently not. $15 million for Ice Cube and the cast of that film, made it number three at the box office this weekend. Then Grindhouse came in at number four. In its debut, made $11.6 million, which really isn't a fair comparison to the other films because it does run well over 3 hours. And
yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's going to cut down a lot on how many screenings they can have in the course of a night, so you're not going to make as much money as the other films because they can only show it about half as many times.
About zombies, though, first half, that was fantastic.
So good. And the cast in the first half, first of all, was I right or was I right about Rose McGowan?
Yeah, wow.
Is she terrific in that movie?
Yes, wow.
And looks great.
Mm-hmm.
And you got Freddie Rodriguez from 6 Feet Under.
He's great.
Who's mm-hmm. terrific in it. Bruce Willis is very funny in it as well.
He's great.
Quentin Tarantino stars in the film as well.
Mm-hmm. It was great, too.
Yeah. Really entertaining. The Reaping was number five at the box office, made about $10 million in its debut, the new Hilary Swank movie.
Oh.
300 was number six at the box office, then Wild Hogs, Shooter, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and Firehouse Dog, rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. See, he's a dog, and he lives in a firehouse.
Is that what it's about?
They should have hired Psycho Mike to name that movie. It'd be so creative. They're going to come up with something else. Firehouse Doggy Style or something.
Hey!
George Lucas has told the press that Harrison Ford will play his age in the upcoming fourth installment of the Indiana Jones movies. That means he will go on a search for the golden AARP card.
Yeah.
See, that's the association for retired people.
Yeah.
Because he's old.
He's 64 years old. And that'll make him 64 years old. Indiana Jones will be. He says Indy gets beat up a lot, and there'll be plenty of action scenes. And the chases are more suspenseful than speedy, Lucas says.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. Probably not moving as fast.
He's in a wheelchair?
Yeah, well, he's in a little rascal.
Kevin, how old is your dad?
Quick. I don't know. 70s? 70.
Oh, really? He's 70? That much older? Okay. Yeah. Because I was thinking, because Harrison Ford is about the same age as my dad is. And it just cracks me up to think of my dad being Indiana Jones. It's like, how could a guy that old do that? But I, as Ralph says, I guess they'll handle that in the writing.
Indiana Chief. That's the movie I want to see.
Gene's dad could be a better Indiana Jones than this guy, for God's sakes.
If Indiana Jones sat around watching a lot of CBS programming.
Yeah, I guess so. Hurry up. We have to get into that cave because Jag is on.
That's right.
Oh, sad news for Kiss fans. Mark St. John, who was once lead guitarist for Kiss, is dead. If that name doesn't sound familiar to you, it's because he only played with Kiss on one album. That was during that really horrible era where they took off their makeup and tried to reinvent themselves.
Right.
Yeah.
They did one album called Animalize in 1984, and that's the album that Mark St. John played on. He replaced a guy named Vinnie Vincent, who replaced Ace Frehley before Ace came back. So that's his claim to fame.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Mark St. John.
Well, it sucked to come in, be a part of Kiss, and then be gone again.
Gene, what do you remember about Mark St. John? Is there anything memorable?
I remember we double-teamed a Chinese girl one time.
Is that what you remember?
Yes. Yeah. I kicked him out of the band. He wasn't holding up to his end of the bargain, partying a little bit too much. And then I banged his mother.
Oh, well.
I did. I gave her the creme brulee-flavored tongue that you see before you.
All right.
Oh, God.
Thanks so much, Gene. I'm sorry I asked.
Yeah.
Fergie of the Black Eyed Peas has an interview in Playboy magazine this month. She says when she wants to spice up her relationship with boyfriend Josh Duhamel, he dances for her in private in some interesting outfits.
Okay.
He turns her on by dancing for her dressed up. Usually it's the other way around.
Do his London bridges fall down then?
I'm pretty sure they do.
Okay.
And she likes to wear thigh-high patent leather boots when the two of them get together. Now, this may be a rumor, but I've heard she also addresses the legendary wet stain in her pants on stage incident.
When she peed?
Where apparently she comes clean, no pun intended, and announces that, yes, she in fact did lose control of her bladder while on stage during this interview.
Really?
So I'm looking forward to picking up this issue because I'm hoping that is true. I would like to find out the truth behind that story. Anna Nicole Smith's baby daddy saga may be coming to an end. Tomorrow, TMZ.com says Dr. Michael Baird will unveil his findings about the DNA testing. It'll happen in a courtroom in the Bahamas. Larry Birkhead reportedly will be present for the verdict. No word on whether Howard K. Stern will be there or not. The rumor is, though, he will not show up, nor will he contest the paternity should the DNA prove that it's Larry Birkhead's child.
How could you?
It is pretty damning evidence.
I mean, I don't know that you could.
I think
fight it.
During the courtroom time with the judge making the announcement, Howard K. Stern will have the baby on a private airstrip somewhere getting ready to leave the Bahamas to points unknown. I think that's what's going
to
happen.
Thailand. So he won't have to contest it because the baby will be in the overhead luggage compartment.
Exactly.
Jet. That's what he's saying.
On the way to a secure location, maybe to the caves of Pakistan or something.
And Lindsay Lohan continues to impress and amaze. Here's a girl who won't be legal to drink until July of this year, by the way.
Right.
She's still 20 years old. She just got out of rehab after one too many drunken mishaps. However, she is hosting the opening of a brand new bar in New York City next week.
Brilliant.
Lindsay will be the hostess at the new Bar Runway, which is opening up in New York City. It is a fashion-themed bar restaurant.
Okay.
Features a 25-foot catwalk in the center of the club. And Lindsay will be there greeting all the people as they have their grand opening. So it's a good place for her to be.
For her to line up work right after rehab.
Yeah. I'd like to see her fall off the wagon and walk the catwalk, but that's just me. Because she doesn't wear underwear. You can just look right up her dress. It'd be very entertaining. I just looked up as if I was looking up someone's dress, and it's radio. No one can see that.
Yeah.
You're looking at the roof.
I don't know
what. No point in really doing that. A little physical bit of comedy.
It's almost hard not to, though, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthday is Hugh Hefner. One of my personal heroes. He is 81 years old today. Still a stud at 81. How many 81-year-old studs do you know?
Zero.
One.
Just him and Harrison Ford.
That's right. Dennis Quaid, actor, 53 years old today. Paulina Poroskova is 42 years old today. Keisha Knight Pulliam. She was Rudy on The Cosby Show, the youngest of the Huxtable clan. She's 28 years old now. Little Rudy's 28. We had a lot of emails came in after Psycho Mike incorrectly identified Raven Simone's character as the daughter of Sandra and Alvin.
Oh, okay.
It turns out it was the stepdaughter of Denise and the Navy guy that she married. That's who that. That's who Raven's character was.
I'm sorry.
So, Mike, sorry.
Wow.
A lot of Cosby fans are upset.
Anybody that's really upset should take their life right now.
Yeah. Probably should, yeah. Albert Hammond Jr. from The Strokes is 27 years old today, and a lot of also angry emails that I neglected to mention. Gerard Way sure. from My Chemical Romance. He is 30 years old today, so...
He's a fag!
No, stop it. Gerard is a fine, upstanding young man, and we think the world of him here at the Kevin and Bean Show. Happy birthday, Gerard. You and your boyfriend have a good time.
Oh! We think so much of him that we finally mentioned him at 8:03.
Well, we wanted to see, you know, this is why a lot of people are listening. We wanted to build it up.
Oh, I see.
Get a big audience for the grand announcement of his birthday.
Okay.
Gerard.
Guy's doing all right for 30, by the way, playing sold-out shows at places like the Forum and Madison Square Garden. When I was 30, I was still throwing rocks at my neighbor, Robbie Joyner.
I remember when I was 30, Revolver was still touring when I was with my band. And still,
no.
I miss those days.
Yeah.
It's good times. Good times.
Yeah.
Good times with Revolver. Yeah. You're waiting for me to say the word.
We all are.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
A warning, some of what you're about to see and hear is explicit.
Sorry, I should do that.
A lot of that going on today. Yeah. This won't surprise...
Some graphic and mature content. Parental discretion is advised.
Any of you, but we're all just...
The following is rated MALV. It contains strong language and violence. It is intended only for mature audiences. Viewer discretion advised.
Okay. Many of the voices that you hear here on the Kevin and Bean Show weekday mornings on the world famous Q-Rock are only here because we haven't been able to get out. We haven't been able to claw our way out of this pit and go on to do something we really want to do. And Psycho Mike is no exception. Yeah, he shows up bright and early, you know, to do this job. But this isn't where his heart and dream is. This is not where he hopes to end up. The boy's got plans. Am I right, Psycho Mike?
Yeah. My hearts and desires lie somewhere else. And that somewhere else is deep in the depths of the San Fernando Valley.
In the porn industry?
Oh, yeah.
We got a box of porn from our friend Joy over at Wicked Pictures. And I got to tell you, the people who come up with the porn titles rule the planet. They're the best.
They're very creative.
They're the best.
Yeah.
They have a great sense of humor. Joy King, Vice President, Special Projects, Wicked Pictures. Good morning.
Good morning.
Joy, before we say anything else, we can't tell you how much we appreciate and how much use we get out of the wicked titles that you send over on a regular basis to the world-famous K-Rock.
Well, thank you. I'm here for you.
We spent the last week laughing at these, and that's when Mike decided that he wanted to join. Do you have just people that come up with the titles? Is that their only job?
I do.
Oh, no. Yeah, really?
That's a...
Really?
Well, no. Here's the thing. I do a lot of it, but I do reach out to a lot of places and you know, encourage friends and relatives to send in their titles.
I think it's really amazing that that you guys are able to take it so lightly and have such a great sense of humor about it.
Well, you have to.
Well, you don't have to. A lot of people don't. I know it's porn. I get that. But, you know, when you come up with, and the rimmer is, I mean, that's just gold right there. Ask the World Turns? Come on. These people must just sit around and just laugh coming up with this stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of drinking involved in coming up with titles.
Sure, sure.
But, I mean, I would imagine, Joy, I mean, Wicked has been around for a long time, and you have, how many titles must you have in your catalog by now? Thousands, right?
Well, you know, we're not as we don't put out as many titles as a lot of people, but in the hundreds.
Certainly hundreds, yeah. So by the time you've got a director who's making his, you know, his 200th lesbian picture, he's grateful when somebody comes up with Meatless in Seattle. All of a sudden he goes, yes, that's a title that hasn't been used.
Or Lesbola.
Right.
Which is also good. Million Dollar Booty, Mission Impossible, Da Vagina
Missionary
Code.
Impossible.
Oh, I'm sorry, Missionary Impossible. Da Vagina Code, always good. 7 years in Thai Butt, very funny. Say Aloha to My A-Hola, I think is one of my favorites, though. I mean, that's just inspired. What's that?
It's all beach themed.
That one is just inspired. Pump My Ride, very good. Sweet and Sour Pork. But one of my favorites is Thank You for Smoking, Pole. I think that's my favorite out of the list that you sent over.
Let me ask you this, because you're the VP of Special Projects, and you know all about the marketing and stuff. Does the title make a huge difference in sales and rentals on your movies?
Absolutely.
Really? So yeah, you could put the same DVD out with the same cover, same actresses, same plot, get a catchy title that's going to be worth more to you.
Absolutely.
Like the Three Musketeers, for example.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. The Young and the Breathless. Tic-Tac-Ho. Well, Willy Wonka in her chocolate factory. Come on.
Oh,
who
nice.
Doesn't like a good porn title? So Psycho Mike has written up a few that he would like to run by you. And and then he would like to join at least in a part-time manner coming up with porn titles.
I would love to. I mean, it really is a dream of mine, like I've said earlier.
He's not kidding.
Let's hear what you got.
Okay, well, I tried to separate them into, you know, different classifications like I know you like to do. So, for instance, if you're thinking of an anal film, how about Poop Plantation? Or Paint the Town Brown.
Oh, man.
How's the Ass Is Always Greener strike you? Of course, oral films I know are very popular. How about Boner Breath? Or With Your Gonads? How about Take a Puff on My Beef Bong?
Come on.
That's a good one, right? I know here in Southern California, obviously a big Hispanic population. Mm-hmm. How about Choke on Chorizo? Or Humping at Home Depot?
I'm not sure I could use Home Depot.
Oh, okay. Right. Copyright sure. stuff. Yeah. You know, San Fernando Valley, known for porn, also known for a huge Armenian population.
Sure.
So let's try to hit it them with tonsil kebab.
Doesn't really roll off the tongue.
No,
but
it's good.
It does mean something.
The Asian fellows might like Veiny Dong from Hong Kong.
Sure.
And of course, our Jewish fellows might like Gargle My Soggy Matzah.
Oh,
yeah, I don't
that's
think.
Nasty.
Is there a category for Jewish porn, Joy?
Not really.
Not big, yeah.
I know that every weekend it seems like there's a new horror film coming out.
Horror?
Horror. Yeah, you know, a new horror film coming out. Maybe we could do go into that and maybe take off on that with a little bit of porn with The Trim Reaper or Black the Ripper.
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah, those
I
are
like
good
both
ones.
Them.
We could always parody TV shows with Genital Hospital or Everybody Humps Raymond.
Sure. Sure. See, that's all good.
I know a lot of guys who are fans of pornography are also big sports fans.
Mm-hmm.
So how about like a baseball theme one? We call it Shagging Balls.
I like it.
That's good.
I like the
good.
Outfield. Yeah. Or Whitewater Shafting.
I'm afraid to picture that one.
There's a new Mark Wahlberg. There's a new Mark Wahlberg movie out.
Right.
Called Shooter.
Right.
How about we do a porn called Shooter?
Just the same thing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's a great idea.
But have it starring Mark Wahlberg. And, of course, the biggest movie of this year is going to be Spider-Man 3, I believe.
Sure.
Right.
So we could do Spider-Man 4, Slinging the Sticky Web.
Okay. All right.
Oh, nice.
Good enough. I'm talking about web.
Right, I know.
You
know, right, sure. Out of your hand.
Mike, you keep working on that. I think you got a long way to go before you match your face or mine, but I think you're on the right track. I think you're doing good work. Enjoy great new selection of Wicked titles. We're going to be giving those out to our listeners for the whole rest of 2007. So thanks for sending those out, and thanks for talking to us.
Anytime.
Thank you. Bye now.
So the Kevin and Bean Afro line is 323-520-AFRO. Call anytime you think of something that you would like to share with us or the K-Rock listeners. 24 hours a day. It's open for you.
That's right. Any topic is perfectly fine, including somebody that we all hate.
I hate Rosie O'Donnell. To any mercenaries that might be listening out there, nobody's going to have their feelings hurt if somebody kills her. I'm just saying.
Isn't that what America thinks is entertainment? To make fun of someone's physical appearance, and then when they leave the room, laugh hysterically at them.
We didn't say you were fat in the call.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Although you are.
Hey, guys. You guys want to know what happens to a K-Rock listener who visits the Kevin and B page way too much? Well, she starts having wet dreams about one of the K-Rock jocks. Hope you're happy, Omar. Hope you're happy.
Wet dreams about Omar. Lisa has that. Those.
Kevin Bean, where are you? Kevin? Kevin Bean, why aren't you answering me?
Okay, that's just creepy.
I think people are listening to the Download Rodeo too much. I think that's part of the problem.
Bean, you know what I mean. You're the filthiest bastard I've ever seen. Oh, Bean, you can smell my butt. You can smell and lick my butt.
Okay. Right, listen.
Did we screen these calls before they got on the air? Has anyone already listened to these?
You know who did? Omar.
Yep.
That's why he left the wet dream one in. What do you think?
Of course.
Everybody can agree on certain bands. Everybody, of course, has their favorites and other people, you know, you don't like somebody else. But everybody can agree on certain bands.
Oh, my God. I love Good Charlotte. They're such an awesome band. I love their fashion sense. Their makeup on their faces and fingers. Mm-hmm. I love skinny jeans. Let me tell you, they are so great. I love them.
I love the eyeshadow, the mascara. I love Good Charlotte. They're so emotional. I love it.
Glad to hear it. Glad we could help you out with that.
Oh, my God. Could you guys just play another Good Charlotte song? I need to hear an emo song. I'm feeling very emotional at the moment.
Okay.
Called about three more times. We don't have time. Sorry.
Where do gay cows eat for lunch? Hey! Hey! Get it? Hey! But do you get it?
What is going on? What is happening?
Hey, man, Adam. Hey!
I don't know exactly what's going on. What do you do when you see a homeless person? You give them money? You don't.
Some people do.
Some people do. Some people, and usually the people who do always do.
Yeah.
People who don't always don't. This guy's a little different.
Oh, my God. There is a midget hobo sitting on the corner asking for money. Now, I was going to throw him a 10, like I normally do the regular bums, but I figured since he's half a person, a 5 should be adequate. Oh, my God. It was hilarious.
I think that's good figuring. Don't you think?
Sure.
Half the size, half the money?
Oh, that's mean.
I think that's... What do you mean that's mean?
Does he only eat half as much? I don't think so.
Probably.
Got half as big a stomach.
I don't think so.
Lisa's trying to figure out if I'm serious or not.
I'm very excited about a movie that Ralph has already seen and has been raving about. It opens up for the rest of us this Friday. It is called Disturbia. And Ralph, I guess this was your pal DJ Caruso, right, who filmed this movie, right?
DJ Caruso, the director of Two for the Money. That's where he and I worked together. But he also directed The Salton Sea and Taking Lives with Angelina Jolie. He's a very talented guy. And this is his new film, Disturbia. And I got to tell you, this movie, he just crushed it on this one. Knocks it out of the park. I love this film.
I love this kind of movie anyway. So I'm glad to hear that he nailed it. I mean, that's great.
The beauty of the film is that it is a thriller, and it does keep you on the edge of your seat. But unlike a lot of thrillers, it spends a lot of time developing the characters in the story, which really pays off at the end because you really get invested in these people and what happens to them. So as opposed to just the shock value of the thriller stuff,
right,
you also get to learn about Shia LaBeouf's character in particular and his relationship with his mom and the new girl who moves into the neighborhood. You really develop a sense for these people. So when bad things start happening, you're even that much more invested.
We have Shia LaBeouf on the phone. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Hey, man, I just got to say, before we talk about anything else, this is my favorite show.
Oh, thank you. Very cool. Yeah.
That's cool. Nice to hear. Thanks, Shia.
Yeah. You guys are awesome, man.
Thank you.
I'm an LA native, and this is all I listen to.
Fantastic. Well, you have bad taste, but other than that.
This movie does look different from any of the other thrillers. I mean, you know, we had a lot of them in the theater this year, but this one does look like it's psychologically just damaging. It seems like almost to watch what your character goes through.
Well, I mean, just facts, like opinion aside, it's one of the highest testing films in Paramount history.
Fantastic.
So, you know, the reaction has been incredible, which is exciting for all of us involved. DJ, myself, David Morris, who's like one of the greatest character actors we have.
Yeah, he's great. He's the bad guy, right?
The guy's a beast.
Yeah.
He is scary as hell in this thing, too. He's so physically imposing. He's got to be about 6'6", and he's just this giant presence in the film, and everywhere you turn, he just looms. It's really spooky.
He's got like a medium where it's like there's this middle ground with him. He's got this sweet face, you know? You don't expect him to be what he is.
Right.
Explain for people who don't know the story of Disturbia what it is.
Disturbia is a psychological thriller, like you guys have been saying, about this kid who's damaged because he just lost his father. So he's dealing with a lot of pain, but doesn't want to look at his own pain, so he starts reaching out of his window. He gets locked up on house arrest because he beats the crap out of his teacher.
Right.
Assault battery charge. He gets put on house arrest. And he becomes this voyeur and is living next to a murderer, or so he thinks. And
now, let me interrupt here and just say, in the part of the trailer that I saw that was the most fascinating to me, you and a friend are looking at a super hot chick that moved into the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And then she shows up at the door and comes in to watch with you.
Right.
That rules.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Right.
I mean, that's like a dream, right?
Oh, completely. you know, there's aspects of, like, Say Anything in this movie also. It's not just all this Rear Window type of film. There's a little bit of The Conversation in there. There's a little bit of Say Anything. And that whole thing with the girl is, you know, the romance of it plays a big deal in the film. And the humor of it, it's just a bunch of different tones.
Now, Shia, let me ask you this, because I understand that in the preparation for this film, tell me if this is true or not, you actually found people who had been under house arrest and talked to them about what that experience was like for them.
Yeah, for a while. Me and DJ both. A lot of the stuff, you know, Twinkie Towers and things like that came from real, you know, stories.
Well, the great thing in the film is that Kale's mom, Shia's character, she turns off his access to iTunes. He can't download any iTunes. He can't play video games. One by one, she starts taking away everything you would do if you were locked in your house for 3 months. So naturally, he turns outward to the surroundings around him.
That's just evil, turning off your computer and your video games.
Do those people just go stir crazy? They just want to like tear their hair out because they're so bored because they're inside all the time?
Absolutely. Plus, they're voyeurs before they even get on lockdown. You know, you think about youth today.
Oh, sure.
With MySpace and Facebook and Us Weekly. It's just a natural, innate human thing. But it gets amplified when you have absolutely nothing in your life going on. You know, and the thing that sucks about house arrest is in jail, you know you're in jail. When you're on house arrest, and some of these people are on house arrest for years, not months, years, like 3 years locked in their house.
Right.
Is that everything is out there, but none of it's tangible. You can see everything, but you can't touch any of it. Mm. It's like torture. It's painful. These people go through insane, insane depression and OCD, and it's psychologically damaging. You know?
And that's why when the hottie shows up at the front door, you think, yes, dear God.
So I have a clip. Set up the, this is the clip of you talking on the two-way with your friend who has gone over to the neighbor's house.
Yeah, so he starts becoming like our little tool, like our little lab rat. And he's like the expendable. You know, it's like I can't leave the house, and my chick is definitely not going to do it.
She's too hot.
She's my chick. She's too hot.
Right.
Like, you know what? You go do this. You go handle it. And this is me sending him out to go do some research on this murderer's or would-be murderer's garage.
Yeah, and he crawls underneath the garage door and goes inside with a video camera.
There's a lot of blood. That's hair. No, this is nasty.
And he's looking back.
Oh, God. This is stinky.
Stay calm.
Oh, no.
And the garage door shuts on him.
Ronnie, is this close the door?
Someone in the garage.
Ronnie.
Help me. Help me.
Any movie where people are whispering, man, bad things happen.
Now, Shia, David Morse, like you said, is one of my favorite actors. He was so good in House last season, and he's just great. I understand he's a bit of a method actor, so to increase the tension between your two characters, I believe he gave you a pretty chilly reception on the set, huh?
Well, he just didn't talk to me for 2 months.
He didn't?
Absolutely no communication. I think the first words he spoke to me was when we were doing fight scenes, and he looks at me and goes, "You might want a duck, kid. This is a real bat."
Wow.
Oh my God.
Did you try to talk to him and he didn't?
I'd be like, hey, David, so how you doing? And he would just nothing, you know?
Awesome.
Like a samurai. He had nothing to say.
That's the best.
And especially since you're already a big fan of his going in, and you're thinking, hey, this is awesome. I get to work with this actor I really admire. I'm looking forward to picking his brain, and then nothing. That's hilarious.
Are you sure he wasn't really killing people?
I'm not sure of that.
Okay.
I don't know much about David, period. I still don't know much about David.
Well, Ralph has seen the movie and says that it's fantastic. And I love movies that are just okay in this genre. I love the whole neighborhood thing.
Well, this is great.
Evil
this is much
guy.
Better than that.
Love that.
And Shia, is it true you were going back and forth between the set of Disturbia and Transformers? You were filming at the same time?
Yeah, they started overlapping.
Wow.
But, for the majority of it, we shot Disturbia before Transformers, and I was just training for Transformers while we were shooting. And we only started overlapping like the last 2 or 3 days.
It's going to be a hell of a year for you, man.
I can't wait for Transformers either. When's that come out? July 4th?
4th of July, yeah.
Well, if you have the time, Shy, we'd love to be able to have you in and maybe spend a little bit more time with you and talk about Transformers because obviously.
The studio version.
Yes.
We'd love that. That would be fantastic.
But only with that chick. All right.
And I want to mention, because I talked about this movie a lot when it was out, but for folks who haven't seen Bobby, which was Shia's movie at the end of last year, which I thought was a terrific film, that's getting ready to come out on DVD within the next couple of weeks. So you definitely should check that one out if you haven't seen Bobby yet. That's a real good movie.
Thanks for pumping all my stuff. This is great.
No, we're happy.
You're great in the film, Disturbia. You really are, Shia. The movie just rests on your shoulders, and you do a hell of a job.
Thank you, man.
You and the chat.
That opens up everywhere on Friday. I hope we see you soon. Shia LaBeouf, thanks for being on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, man. Know who's in the other room? Stop it. I got him to stop it. No, he's in the other room. Bobcat Goldthwait.
Bobcat.
Yeah.
Bob Scratch Goldfarb's here.
Yes,
I'm so happy to be here with you fellas.
No, that's Ralph. He's actually in the other room.
Oh, sorry. Looking forward to that. His Bestiality movie is out on DVD
it's
now.
It's not a Bestiality movie.
Bestiality movie. And it's about pretty doing much a it. Dog.
Right. My favorite headline of all the articles on this topic is "Dogs Unusual." Director agrees from the Arizona Daily News. I'll say it's unusual. So we'll talk to Bob about why we should see this movie when it comes out on DVD tomorrow. First, though, 8:54.
Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Let's talk about movies, shall we? I'll take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Blades of Glory repeats its success. Number one at the box office again this weekend. Made an additional $23 million. I think it puts it close to the $60 million mark for two weeks.
Wow. Not bad.
Not bad for a comedy about two guys skating around on the ice. Funny, funny movie. Meet the Robinsons, number two at the box office with $17 million. It was also number two last week as well. Are We Done Yet? First new movie appearing on the top 10 list. $15 million made it number three at the box office. Why? I don't know.
Because he's Ice Cube.
Yeah, yeah.
Grindhouse was number four at the box office. Had a lot going against it. It's a long, long movie, which means it gets less showings per night than your average movie does. Still managed to pull in $11.6 million this weekend.
I gave it my money. Certainly worth it.
Me too. I had a great time in it. How much do you want to see Machete? They effed with the wrong Mexican. How much do you want to see that movie? And how much do you want to see Thanksgiving? Thanksgiving.
Oh, Thanksgiving.
The trailer for Thanksgiving looks like the most awesome movie ever.
I want to see Rob Zombie's movie. She Wolves of the SS. Werewolves of the SS. I want to see that movie too, by the way. And I'll go see Don't. Don't. Don't go in alone. Don't go in. Don't open that door. Don't go in that house. Don't ask why.
These are fake movie trailers that they put between the movies, and I want to see every one of them.
Yeah,
yep, they all look awesome.
Yeah, but Machete Bean's right. They show that even before the first feature, which is Planetary.
All right.
They show it first, and the tagline is, they effed with the wrong Mexican. Can't beat that stuff. The Reaping was number five at the box office this weekend, then 300, Wild Hog, Shooter, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and Firehouse Dog. Rounding out your top 10 in the box office this weekend.
Ralph, what's Firehouse Dog about?
It's about a famous movie dog, Kevin, who jumps out of an airplane with his parachute and gets lost, and they give him up for lost, but he finds a young boy and he becomes his pet, but he still is super smart and has all the skills of his
of
a canine action hero.
Okay.
And he becomes the mascot at a firehouse.
Okay.
And saves the day.
Right, and he can do all sorts of movie tricks. So he can open cabinets and open a beer and jump up and down on a trampoline. He just does all sorts of wacky stuff to the amusement and amazement of all.
The kind of dog that makes kids go home to their own dog and say, "You suck! I just saw a movie with a really cool dog. Why can't you do anything?" So it's bad news.
Yeah.
Angelina Jolie is ticking off a lot of people, according to Star Magazine.
What now?
Apparently she's working over the Warner Brothers studio a lot, and so she has put Maddox, Pax, and Zahara into daycare there on the Warner's lot.
Right.
Angelina Jolie's family sounds like different solar systems. It's like, you know, if you're watching Star Trek, Captain, we're entering Maddox, we've just left Pax, and eventually the Zahara system is coming up on the viewer screen.
That's true.
She's in daycare. She got them in daycare there. And there's a waiting list at the center for single moms who work at Warner Brothers to get their kids into daycare. So they're still on the waiting list. And she just sort of bumped right in the front of the line there. And their kids.
It takes
kids
three slots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're grumpy with her.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I answer with, she's Angelina Jolie.
She is. What are you going to do?
You lose. I just came out on video this week. Was The Good Shepherd, the spy movie.
Yes.
History of the CIA movie directed by Robert De Niro. Starring Angelina Jolie. I rented that this weekend. I saw it. Great, great movie, by the way. Great. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
I got it too. I didn't have time to watch it.
And she's incredible.
Yeah, look at her.
She's amazing looking. Sometimes you got to catch yourself and say, there's a human being who walks around looking like that all the time.
Yep.
It's pretty stupid stuff.
Oh, yeah. I would do everything to her. I would wreck that chick.
Meanwhile, In Touch magazine says that there's trouble in the relationship between Angelina and Brad.
Uh-oh.
Because they're both so busy with work and the kids, and Angelina's dealing with the loss of her mom, so that a lot of trouble in paradise there between those two. Here's the thing, though. With every story that you read the past couple weeks from the tabloids, you have to take it with a grain of salt. Because they sold the baby photos exclusively to People magazine.
Right.
And all the other tabloids are completely cheesed off at them about this.
Oh.
So there's been running stories saying that the other tabloids are just making up negative stories about Brad and Angelina just to try to exact some revenge against them.
That's possible, right?
Which is very possible.
Yeah.
So like I said, take it for what
but
it's worth.
But that's not the way. I mean, if your complaint is that you're being slighted by the couple, that's not the way to get them on your side is then to just start writing defamatory things about them.
This is true. Fergie has an interview in Playboy magazine this month talking about her relationship with her boyfriend, Josh Duhamel. She apparently says that he dances for her in private when they want to get sexy, and he dresses up in interesting costumes. That's usually the opposite of the way it usually works.
Sure.
Yeah, after seeing her in Grindhouse, I don't care if I ever see him again.
Yeah, she looks great in that movie, doesn't she?
She sure does. She really does.
Yeah, she looks good, and she's a pretty good little actress. She doesn't have much of a role, but she acquitted herself very, very nicely, I thought. She also says she likes to wear thigh-high patent leather boots.
Okay, now we're getting somewhere.
When the two of them are together. She's only 5'4", did you know that?
Mm-mm.
Her boyfriend's 6'3", so it causes some logistical problems. But the reason I want to pick up Playboy is apparently she finally addresses the issue of that famous photograph we've all seen with her, with a dark mark in her crotchal region.
It looked like she peed herself.
Right, and I always sort of defended her, saying it looks like maybe she was just sweating heavily and she had some crotch sweat there while she was dancing. Well, you know, sometimes you get moisture
ass
down
sweat
in that region if you're working out hard enough.
Okay.
She was performing on stage. But we've dug out some audio of her talking about that. We're addressing that fact.
Excellent.
And it looks like she indeed perhaps needs some Depends.
I was very nervous going on stage. So I had a couple drinks before I went out there, right? But I didn't go to the bathroom before I went on stage. You know, I didn't think of that. And, you know, the whole crowd, we're just jumping and jumping and jumping. And so I'm jumping, right? Forgot about the two or three drinks I had right before I went on stage. Well, all of a sudden, starts coming out the other way, okay? Oh. So I start...
That's when she became a Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah. So I was initiated. It was the most embarrassing thing ever. And I could feel it. I'm going, oh, my gosh.
So she was Black Eyed Peeing. That's because what she was doing.
See?
So now we've...
So she was peeing.
We've cleared up that little mystery.
Wow, how do you just forget that? I don't know how you do that.
Jeez, I forgot I had a full bladder. And then the next thing I know, it's just coming out. Don't you get some sort of sensation?
I do.
I do, too.
That's awesome.
Someday I'll tell you the story about me drunk at the grocery store. I don't know if I ever told that story when I was checking out.
I don't think you did.
Yeah, I'll tell you that story. Well, it's not fun. Today's celebrity birthdays. Oh, I got more angry emails.
What now? I thought we went back and picked up all the stragglers.
I picked up Gerard Way from My Chemical Romance. I neglected to mention his birthday. He's 30 years old today. We got that. We nailed that one down.
Right.
But apparently, I neglected to mention that Jenna Jameson celebrates a birthday on April the 9th. She is 33 years old today.
Oh.
So my apologies to Jenna Jameson. Hugh Hefner, Playboy magazine founder, is 81 years old today. Dennis Quaid is 53. Paulina Porizkova, actress, model, and wife to former rock superstar Rick Ocasek from The Cars. They're still together, believe it or not. She is 42 years old.
She has her first novel coming out this week. Written a book, yes.
She doesn't have a novel.
She's reading a book. She didn't write one.
No, she has written a book. She's one of those real, real smart ones, Paulina.
You're one of them, is she? I hate them smart ones.
Keisha Knight Pulliam from The Cosby Show is 28 years old today. Little Rudy's 28 years old. And Albert Hammond Jr., from The Strokes, he is 27 years old today.
And he's got his own CD, too, right?
Yes, he does. He has a solo project, too. Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Bobcat hasn't been in a while. He comes in, he hears the Modest Yahoo song. He says, what is going on at K-Rock? What is happening to you people?
Got the Jewish reggae hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Bobcat Goldthwait, ladies and gentlemen, on the Kevin and Bean Show one more time. How you doing, Bob? Good to see you.
I'm okey-doke. When did I become the old guy now? What is this Modest Yahoo?
I'm just saying, that's an unusual song to be hearing if you haven't been here in a while. That's
I'm familiar with Yahoo because I used to direct Jimmy Kimmel's show. We were one of the first people. We were the first people to have him on.
So you call him on television.
What's that?
The people in the know call him Yao.
Yao? What's up, Yao? Yao.
How many years did you direct Jimmy's show? Two years?
It was like 2 years. Yeah, I did 329 shows.
Wow.
Had to be so tired of the farting, though. I would imagine that's what drove you away, right?
Who's Kimmel's?
Yeah.
Kimmel and I flew to Germany, and before we got on the plane, you know, I'm just like I'm scoring burritos in Germany and just eating broccoli and just because I know I'm sitting next to him and.
But did you think at any point that there's going to be anyone else on the plane?
Well, that's what happened. Like we're in line and I let a few fly and then he lets a few fly and there's this poor old woman standing between us and
gagging.
Oh. And Jimmy looks over at me and goes, "This is a war with no winners."
That's so true.
That group with Kimmel and Carolla and our former sports guy Money, those are guys who take their flatulence very seriously. And it sounds like you showed up to compete is what it sounds like.
It's an art form. What are you kidding? I own the belt. They were all amazed at my abilities.
Well, we got to catch up with Bob because we had John last year when your movie played Sundance. And we had not heard anything about the film at that time. But then all of a sudden, Entertainment Weekly and people in these magazines started writing up this sensation that was going on, this bidding frenzy that seemed
like was going to happen for this movie that you wrote and directed called Sleeping Dogs Lie. And we said, they must have gotten the synopsis wrong because I'm reading here what it's about and that can't be true. So we got you on the phone, and sure enough, it's your bestiality movie.
It's about a dog in a firehouse.
No.
Superpowers.
Nope, that's a different one.
No?
No, it's, you know, it's just, people do get hung up on the bestiality, but it's not like an exploration of bestiality. It's just, that's a little bit of the movie. It's a romantic comedy with a tasteful amount of bestiality.
Is there a tasteful amount of that?
In my movie, it's just all done.
It is really small. I mean, I saw it.
They don't show it.
I saw it. It's not, no, it's one of those deals where they say, hey, we're getting married, no secrets. Just whatever you've done in the past, I can handle it. And that's bad on every level, right? You don't want to do that.
Yeah,
don't do that.
That's a really bad thing. You know, it's just full disclosure is a really bad idea if you like the person.
Right, you want to stay with them.
Yeah.
You don't tell them what you did in college.
So it's, wait, I know, it is kind of weird that it's like, it's something I did at college.
Yeah, like that makes it make sense.
Yeah, beer bong.
Oh, you were in college. Oh, okay. In that case, it's all right what you did to the dog.
Yeah, so it's the feel-good bestiality film, and it drops tomorrow.
On DVD tomorrow, yes, DVDs. Available everywhere. Fantastic. But everybody who saw it said that those that went into it expecting to see one thing always came out of it realizing it was actually a sweet, funny, romantic, Kevin Smith-like comedy, if I can make that comparison. Would you say that's fair? I mean, it's really just about people and their relationships and funny dialogue and good acting, and they were all surprised by it.
Yeah, I'm shocked. I'm shocked. When we were at Sundance, that was the first time I got to see it projected.
Right.
Like, I truly never thought I'd see the movie projected, not in a negative way. It was just a movie we got together, a bunch of friends, and made a movie. And I'm watching it, and this woman is leaving at the very first scene. She's pulling on her friend, and I'm sitting there with my daughter, and this woman's going, come on, we're leaving. And her friend talks her into staying. And then about 60 minutes into the movie, that woman was crying, and my daughter goes, look at your friend now. And I look over, and she's crying, and my daughter goes, yeah, you cry, bitch. You cry.
How old is your daughter now, Bob?
Four.
She was nine. But no,
she's nine.
No. My daughter now is 20. She was 19 when we were at
Sundance.
Okay,
so she was old enough to see it.
Yeah, she almost was the star of it.
Oh, really? Dear God.
How come suddenly it becomes so much worse?
Well, I don't know, but it does.
No. You don't want to talk about your daughter and sex.
No, I know. My daughter, I go, we were at Beck, and I look at my kid, and I go, you should be the dad. No, don't you understand? That'd make me the most hated man in Hollywood.
Well, like, you've been on that path for a long time.
I know, it'd be like goal achieved.
Yeah.
So
now, Bob, tell me about filming this movie. Was it really something that you wrote and put together and filmed in like a couple of weeks?
Yeah, we shot it in 16 days, and then it was just, you know, things were borrowed from different television shows. And
didn't you say that you also shot it in an apartment, and they tried to throw you out a couple?
A neighbor found the script, and she said, can I talk to you, please? And I couldn't. I was really busy, but I talked to her, and she said, I read your script. And I go, this is the most disgusting thing I've ever read in my life. I was like, well. She goes, there is no reason to bring this movie into the world.
No.
and then she goes, you know what? I'm sorry. You're just doing your job. You know, you didn't write it.
You didn't write it.
Yeah. And my friend Morgan goes, no, he wrote it too. So about 45 minutes later, the Humane Society was there, you know.
Nice. The thing about the movie is everybody focuses on, you know, the bestiality. But it's not even, they don't show it. It's not a part of the movie.
No, it's just tastefully done.
It's tastefully done, yeah. And,
sure.
And the real movie is very, very different than that. That's why it's so surprising. I didn't know what to expect when I went, but I wasn't expecting good things.
It's funny because you went, Kevin, to give Bob the benefit of the doubt. Yeah. I wouldn't do that.
No, Bobcat did it. He seems like it sounds funny. Well, I'm going to go check it out.
I'll put that on the DVD box. That's quite the rave.
I'd expect it to be bad.
It's like everybody just remembers the murders when it comes to O.J., but he did a lot of other good stuff, too.
Right.
You know,
and
why focus on
the
negative?
Now, you know, it's hard to, you know, and also to sell this movie. It's like, well, it's got bestiality in it, but it's a romantic comedy. From the guy from Police Academy. You know what I mean? It's like, so people are like, what? You know what I mean? I think the target audience for this movie is frightened of it. And
I think the targeted audience doesn't go because they're scared off by what they hear.
Yeah.
I think. But they shouldn't be.
I think I would have been.
Yeah.
But
let me ask you this question, Bob.
We're going to, I just found out that John Waters picked it as his favorite film of the year. So It's going to be in the Maryland Film Festival one night. He's hosting.
Nice.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, Bob, and I'm sure you've been asked this question a bunch, and I know that you're an artist and you got to stay true to your vision. But when you had this idea and realized you had the potential for a real good movie, was there some thought of, you know what, let's not make it bestiality. Let's just make it I Had Sex with 10 Guys. And that's something that's so much more palatable to people. Then we can get this movie really, really seen. I'm sure you thought about if it was important that the dog was involved, right?
That she pulls a train instead?
I'll bet you didn't.
But I'm saying something like that would have made it more palatable to more people.
No, I'll bet you didn't, because that's kind of what drove the whole story.
Yeah, you needed something that no one was going to get turned on by. But the other reason it's a dog is that I'm a lazy writer, so then I would have had what happened to those other 10 guys?
Yeah.
And I just figured, the dogs, what happened to your dog? Oh, he got too big. I thought I got rid of that character.
All right, we need to take a break. Bobcat Goldthwait is here. His new movie that's coming out on DVD tomorrow is Sleeping Dogs Lie.
Yeah.
And you should pick it up.
Definitely.
If you listen to K-Rock, you listen to our show, don't be scared. Our audience is going to be scared off by the bestiality. But pick it up. It's really good. Stick around. We'll do one more.
We have Bob Scratch in here today talking about Sleeping Dogs Lie coming out on DVD tomorrow. And one of the things that I wanted to ask you about is, how did you pay for the movie, Bob?
It was,
because it seems like it's pretty expensive. Even to make a low-budget 16-day movie that you wrote yourself seems like it cost a lot of money.
Well, myself and the two of the other producers kicked money, and I pawned a guitar.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
That is true? That's a true story?
What guitar? Yeah.
It was a really, really, really nice, expensive guitar.
It must have
been.
Yeah. Why did you have it in the first place?
It's a name-droppy story, but Robin Williams is a friend, and he had given me this guitar, but it was the equivalent of, driver's ed on a Ferrari, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And,
do you play?
I play really poorly, so at the end of the movie, he gets a credit, and he's like, why did I get a special thanks, And I go, that guitar you gave me, I sold it to pay for it.
Did he get his feelings hurt that you sold his gift?
He was like, well, maybe we can go find it. I go, no, it's already gone. So, there was a lot of that.
So that's a true story. You really did. You pawned a guitar, a gift from a close friend, to get this movie made.
Hey, it's a movie.
Right.
Who needs friends?
Good point.
No.
Exactly.
No. I thought that was a very, I don't know why I did that, but, we
make
needed
money.
Some bread, and it seemed kind of silly that this guitar was gathering dust. And, so we that's how
fine.
We did it.
Now, were you in this movie?
I make a slight cameo. I you saw it, so.
I don't remember seeing it.
I'm Roy Orbison's ass.
Oh, Roy Orbison's ass. Okay.
Yeah,
why he wouldn't show his ass?
Well, he's dead.
He's way dead.
First of all,
he's not in the movie.
My ass is bad, but his is worse right now.
I don't get it.
I find it amazing that the Orbison estate signed off on the movie because we used their music and stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
So what happens in the scene where Roy Orbison's ass is being shown?
Well, everybody has secrets. So, in the movie, everybody, because, it's everybody's family's got all kinds of secrets.
Right.
And I don't want to ruin it for people who may get it tomorrow. But it's so Mom banged Roy Orbison is what I'm trying to say. And they're like, no, he was cute when he was young. And Mom, no, he was never cute. But when we shot that scene, we were on these porn stages downtown.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, shooting it down in downtown. And the porn actors would come. I mean, as zero budget as our movie was compared to a porn, we were, Spider-Man 3.
Of course.
And,
yeah.
And, I remember this guy comes in, this gnarly dude from the porn movie, and he reaches into our Skittles, and he leaves, and this kid, because half our crew is from Craigslist, this kid just gets up, and he dumps the Skittles out.
They were no longer good?
This actress who had been working on a movie upstairs, she comes down, she's like, what's your movie about? I go, well, it's about a woman who, has a relationship with a dog. And then she looks at me like, I'm gross.
She's up doing real porn.
She's doing real porn, looking at me like, oh, man.
Did, yeah. Did you try and...
I read for that.
Did you try and...
Who did you guys go with?
Did you try and get anyone else's ass, or was yours the first choice?
No, by that point, everybody in the movie had been in as an extra or...
three or four times?
Yeah, if you look, there's about 14 boom operators, because someone would show up on the set, and then they'd have to do boom all day. And then the next day, they'd be like, F that, dude. I'm not holding that thing all day. But, yeah. It, you know, the movie, it sounds very ghetto the way we're describing
no.
it.
No.
But it is very, but in the same sense, it's very strange. You know, it did go to Sundance. I was in Spain with it at this film festival, San Sebastian.
Wait a minute, before you get to Spain, didn't it get a standing ovation in?
Well, yeah. Well, not in Sundance, it would get very favorable reaction. There'd be some folks standing and all that, but
they were just leaving, though, right, Bob?
No, much to my surprise, by the way, because when I was in Spain, it was 1,500 people, and they were the kind of people that the Marx Brothers would be making fun of. Do you know what I mean? Like in the evening gowns and monocles and stuff,
right?
And then, just before it starts, they go. Sometimes they boo.
Oh no!
And we're into it about 20 minutes, and they're reading along, and then at the end, they gave it a standing O. And then they gave it another standing
wow.
O. Then I didn't know this. And I walk out of the theater and I was signing autographs and people were very sweet. But I didn't know that the whole theater was waiting outside on the stairs. Mm-hmm. There's 1,400 people.
Wow.
And we walked down the stairs, Melinda Page Hamilton and started it myself, and they clapped and the ushers were there. It was like the end of Star
Does
Wars.
Does that screw with your brain being a guy who likes to have people angry at you?
No, I totally.
You must have said, what do I do now?
I just, I cried. I cried.
You are officially more popular in Spain now than you are in the United States.
Yeah, well, I am, in France, it opened in like 200 screens. So it's like over in, you know. I'm the new Jerry Lewis there, and here I'm the old Jerry Lewis. But I never lost sight of it. I know that it's a small movie, and it was awesome experience. But you know, if you look at my canon of film work,
right? Sure,
Shakes the Clown, Windy City Heat. This what people don't understand is that my movies make hundreds of dollars.
Right,
literally hundreds of dollars.
That's right.
Because people are always going, "Hey, what's your next movie?" It's like. Like, you know, I got to wait for Robin to give me another guitar.
That's right. Well, listen, I want to make sure people get the title because you're going to want to look for it tomorrow. Available for sale or rental. Sleeping Dogs Lie is what it's called. Coming out everywhere tomorrow. And Bob, that's what you've been doing is writing some others? You got some other tricks up your sleeve?
I've started to try to write some other stuff. And
Woman with a Zebra is the next movie, then a Woman with an Elephant.
It's a bestiality series.
No, I wouldn't do that.
What? You want to tell us what any of them are
about?
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. Okay. My movies, you know.
They're not going to make hundreds of dollars.
If someone wants to steal it, good luck. Good luck getting the autoerotic asphyxiation comedy off the ground. That's all I'm saying.
I hope you're really doing that because I'll watch it. Yeah.
Good luck getting that going. Good luck with Teen Jesus.
I would so watch Teen Jesus. All right. Sleeping Dogs Lie tomorrow. Our friend Bobcat Goldthwait. Great to see you, Bob. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me. Thanks.
Time for your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. It is Kevin and Beans.
What do you do, nephew?
And you get on the air, you get a prize.
That's right. 1-800-520-1067 is the toll-free number. You call us, we talk to you, and then we give you a prize, in this case, a pair of tickets to the 33rd Annual Toyota Grand Prix. It's happening, of course, in Long Beach this weekend. For tickets, go to longbeachgp.com.
All right, let's start with Frank and Whittier. Good morning, Frank.
What a do, nephew!
What a do!
Good morning, Lisa.
Hello, Frank.
Last night, Sopranos, I swear I thought Bobby was going to get whacked.
I did,
yes.
Too.
Psych.
I loved that because they were sitting there talking. The women were sitting there talking by the lake, and you go like, oh, man, he's getting killed right now.
I thought
that was like the most uncomfortable feeling I had in a while. I mean, just to see them fight and then Carmella jump on the back of Tony and her get tossed like a rag doll.
Yeah, I loved it.
I thought it was a really good episode last night, but my fear is there's only 9 left. And they have a lot of story to tell in the next 9 episodes. I hate to see him just go in a leisurely pace. I got to pick it up.
Yeah, the only thing is, I've read a lot of interviews with him. He doesn't sound like he's a wrap-it-all-up kind of guy.
He's not too concerned about that, huh?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't think he's going to tie up all the loose ends.
But there better be some payoff.
I would hope, yeah.
You got to say goodbye.
I think he's going to get whacked.
But you know what? Tony getting arrested and in a fight with one of his guys, I mean, that's pretty strong.
No, as an average episode. As an average episode, it's pretty strong. I'm just thinking they got to start building some momentum as if they're going to start, you know, closing out the series. However, they did leave us with that whole RICO statute. Federal case that's coming up with the gun charge rolled into it, so maybe they're building toward some time in the Gray Bar Hotel for him.
In the Huskow.
Yeah.
Guys, as a matter of fact, Frank, you don't think he'll end up in jail at the end of the series. You think he'll end up dead, right? That's what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, that's the only way I could see it ending in that. No, I mean, I think Phil is going to whack him or maybe Bobby.
I'm telling you, unless he's leading us astray, David Chase, the creator, does not sound like he's heading toward a death. of Tony. It sounds like he's just going to...
I bet you he's going to keep his options open for a feature to film, too.
So yeah.
I don't know if he's going to kill off Gandolfini.
Interesting. Yeah. As long as we find out what the goddamn black smoke is, that's all I care about. The smoke that can't get over the invisible fence, as long as they answer that question.
A different thing altogether.
I just, you know, I understand that they were drinking and they were playing the world's most boring Monopoly game, but how drunk do you have to be to put a to attack a mob boss? I mean, I'm never that drunk, ever. Yeah.
Well, no, you don't drink, but no.
I don't mean me. I mean, even, you know, even if I'm Bobby, I'm never drunk enough that I forget that he's Tony freaking Soprano.
Yeah.
But he's been around him forever. I mean, it all played very realistically to me.
Robert in Anaheim, good morning.
What did you, nephew?
What did you do?
Hey, Robert.
Oh, my gosh, I can't believe I'm about to say this. I went to a store in San Francisco a couple weeks ago, and they actually make a Joan Rivers talking doll.
A Joan Rivers talking doll.
I press the stomach, and, like, you know that annoying laugh that she has? You press the stomach, and that's what comes out of the voice box.
How dare you? How dare you say that, son of a bitch?
All right.
Oh, Joan, wow. Geez.
She has a doll.
Who's the audience for that? Who wants to buy that?
I was just
going to
ask that. What's the market for that?
People with pins who practice voodoo. That's what the audience is for.
Good call. All right. Thank you, Robert. That's not a good tip, but thank you. Let's go to Mike in Anaheim. Good morning, Mike. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
last Thursday, I got arrested for dry ice bombs.
For dry ice bombs?
Yeah, you know what that is?
Of course.
Felony charge for explosive device.
No kidding.
I don't know what a dry ice bomb
is.
How much of it did you have?
We had about 20 bottles.
For those of us who don't know what dry ice bombs are, please elaborate.
Okay. Dry ice bombs are, you take a bottle, you fill it half full of water.
Right.
You get a little bit of dry ice and put it in the bottle and close the lid, and the bottle just blows up.
It's good times. It explodes.
So you get glass shrapnel everywhere.
Well, no, we were doing plastic bottles.
Where were you doing it that you got a felony charge?
We were at a park at like 11:30 at night.
A park? Hey, let's go to the park and blow off some bombs.
Sounds like your people, Kevin.
Wow.
Spring break.
Hey, spring break.
Hey, yeah.
You got
defense. Good luck.
Get a job and a haircut.
He's going to go into the court and go, spring break.
And the judge is going to go, oh, it was spring break. Okay, that's cool.
Fine.
I didn't realize that.
Ruben in Buena Park. Good morning.
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
Hey, Ruben.
What's going on?
Hey, I was at the Toyota Center this weekend and witnessed the biggest upset in UFC history.
Oh.
Psycho Mike, do you agree?
Yes, hands down.
Biggest upset in history.
Yeah, easily in the history of the UFC, for sure.
God.
Who was it?
It was a guy by the name of Matt Serra. He whooped on a guy by the name of Jorge St. Pierre, who people are considering to be the future of UFC. I mean, this would be like the Clippers taking the Dallas Mavericks out in the playoffs four straight. I mean, he not only beat him and was by far the underdog, he whooped on his ass. It was crazy.
Hmm. Fantastic. Sounds good. Thank you, Ruben.
Is that on pay-per-view or anything, Mike?
Joe Rogan, we'll talk to him, should talk to him about it tomorrow when he comes in. I mean, he couldn't even interview the winner after the fight because he was so blown away.
Just flummoxed?
Yeah.
Let's go to Dewan in Los Angeles. Hey, Dewan.
What's up, Kevin Bean? Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Dewan.
Is this Dewan from Los Angeles, California?
Yes, it is.
What's going on, buddy?
Dewan.
On Saturday night, I saw this movie, Grindhouse. It was crazy.
You saw Grindhouse?
Yep,
it's a 3-hour movie. It doesn't seem like your type of movie.
The first one, Planet Terror, is got blood and gore.
It does, yes.
It does.
You sound very happy about that.
The movie was death proof when Kurt Russell character killed everybody.
Mm-hmm. How come we haven't heard about this movie, Dewan?
I think you need to see the commercial about the effort.
No, we've heard it. He's just kidding.
Yeah,
we went to see it this weekend, too.
Dewan, was Drew Barrymore in either of these feature films?
No, man.
Easy, Dewan. Easy. Down, boy.
I'm glad she wasn't to upset you.
I'm glad she wasn't, because she probably would have been killed if she was in one of those.
Oh, yeah.
That was an explosion. Hey, Dewan, I wanted to ask you about a call that you made a couple days ago. Do you mind?
What are you talking about?
I will play it for you. You called the Afroline.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. It's Dewan from Los Angeles, California. Let me sing that song from the Soul Train theme. Soul Train, Soul Train. Soul Train, Soul Train.
What exactly inspired that, DeJuan? Were you watching Soul Train on the TV?
I watch it sometimes every Saturday.
Every Saturday? Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
And you just were taken with the theme song, so you thought you'd call up and share with us?
Yes.
That was fantastic.
Okay, nothing wrong with that. That's great. We love it when you call, DeJuan. You know that.
Cool.
Thank you, man.
Nice okay, to do that we'll line dance where they go down the center and they're like showing off, or everybody's standing on either side. I love that part.
Now, they don't make Soul Train anymore, right? These are all reruns, right?
I think so, yeah. I don't think they made it.
I don't know the status of its production.
You're not a Don Cornelius fan?
I am not privy to that information.
Steve in Long Beach, good morning.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning, Steve.
I just had to let you guys know it looks like they're going to make Machete.
That's what I've heard.
That's the best news ever. This is one of the fake movie trailers that they had between the movies in Grindhouse, and it looks awesome.
It's listed on IMDb as in production, direct to DVD.
Wow.
They effed with the wrong Mexican. That's the best slogan ever.
Apparently Robert Rodriguez is going to make the film and put it on DVD.
I love that.
I am so there.
The What's that?
He's on the phone with the villain. He says, I want my wife and daughter back, and they're butt naked in the spring with him.
Okay, you lost me in the trailer. Last part.
Danny Trejo's in the pool with the
mother
and daughter.
In the trailer.
And it's the wife and daughter of the bad guy, Jeff Fahey.
I gotcha. And then they say, you effed with the wrong Mexican.
At the end.
Did somebody order Mexican?
No, different catchphrase.
Okay.
But very close.
That's going to be the best movie ever, though. I'm so happy. And now they got to make Thanksgiving. Now that if they're making Machete, now they got to make Thanksgiving.
And you forget that Cheech is also in Machete. Cheech plays
a badass priest.
The badass priest with like pump action shotguns. He's blowing people. Right. Please have mercy. God has mercy. I don't. Blows his head off.
Psycho Mike, I know we wasted a lot of hours trying to get you to go see Borat, but there's no excuse for you not going to see Grindhouse. I'm sorry. They're just
go for the first 5 minutes. You see Machete. You can walk out afterwards.
All right.
Second. I want to thank all of our many guests on today's Kevin and Bean Show, including Joel McHale. Of course, he is the host of The Soup. That is Friday nights at 10 o'clock over there on the E! Channel. You can also catch him tonight on NBC's new improv show called Thank God You Hear. That airs at 9. What'd you say, Kevin? There's two episodes tonight?
Yeah,
9 and 9:30, is that what it is?
I think so, yeah.
All right. Thanks to actor Shia LaBeouf for joining us, too. His new film is called Disturbia. That one opens up on Friday. It's supposed to be terrific. And thanks to Bobcat Goldthwait. Sleeping Dogs Lie on DVD everywhere tomorrow.
Before we talk about tomorrow's show, really quick, Nick.
I was trying to get out before then.
I know, but I want to talk to him. Our window licker. Why would you try to get out before Nick?
Where'd love die for Nick?
What is because wrong with you?
Because DeJuan filled that quotient in this phone segment.
No,
and maybe we have Nick call back tomorrow when we need him. Today, we're running late. We had lots of calls.
No.
Don't need him. Don't have time for him, really.
No.
Hey, you're bad.
Why didn't call me? I'm just like wondering what's up. What do you guys want to talk to me about?
Oh, excellent. Oh, good. Okay, you hold on. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Unbelievable.
We have Death Pool Dave.
People?
Listen, I don't know.
I'm not blaming my instincts this time.
Makes a living, he says, as a professional death pool player. He guesses what celebrities are going to die and makes enough money at it that he's a professional. That's what he says.
And remember in Grindhouse, he was driving that car, Death Pool Dave, and he's got the girl in there, and he's been driving around.
That was
proof.
Stuntman Mike. That was Stuntman Mike. Right?
That's a different
Completely
thing.
Different.
Also, tomorrow we're going to try and talk to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. They're going to come out with the results of Anna Nicole Smith's DNA, blah, blah, blah. We've heard that 1,000 times.
I hope it's Larry King.
And Joe Rogan will be in our studios.
Oh.
Very excited. He's got a new comedy CD called Shiny Happy Jihad. And tomorrow as well, we are going to find out if Lisa is smarter than a fifth grader.
We found out today that Kevin is at least as smart as a fifth grader. He swept all the questions in the Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader contest.
I think I equaled fifth graders.
I was shocked. I am betting against me.
And Lisa's going to struggle.
Okay, I can tell you right now.
So that's tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow is the end of the road for you, Lisa. You no longer can just get by on your looks. You're going to be exposed for the hot fraud that you are, I guess. All right. Kat Corbett is up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock, including some POD, also Muse, Smashing Pumpkins, Rise Against, Chili Peppers, Green Day, and so much more right after this on the world-famous K-Rock.